Every chazara that we do in the different sections of the fourth year, I focus on different things, just because I see the needs are different in every section, depending on the style of every given magashir who's leading us. In regards to Rosh Chapter in particular, so I think what would be most helpful is to, we're going to review some of the more complex issues that he described and discussed, but of course we can't review everything. It would be way too much. And also I wanted to focus on some of the things in the Mishnah Berurah, which are part of the curriculum for the Bechina and for learning Hilchos Erevin in general. Some of the issues which he perhaps either didn't have time to address, or simply just we didn't get to, or he assumed that everyone knew before we started. And perhaps also to include some hashmatas from previous years, which maybe we didn't get to this year, or also, which I think is an important objective, particularly when it comes to Hilchos Erevin that we learned together with Rav Schechter, is to round our knowledge out, perhaps with the opinions of other poskim, not in any way to undermine the Rav Schechter's opinion and the authority that it carries, particularly for us as Talmidim of the Yeshiva, but just so we should be aware of the general range that's out there, and as we'll see, the spectrum of opinions that could be marshaled in terms of going about constructing an Erev in a practical way in all of the different settings we might be confronted with. So just in terms of an introductory statement with regards to issue of building Erevin, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Nun Tesmet Aleph that the word Malacha is repeated 39 times with regards to the mitzvah, the Isurim of Shabbos, from which the Gemara Masechet Shabbos infers that there are 39 Avos Malachas, 39 categories of Malacha on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos and Daf Ayin Gimel lists for us the 39 Avos Malachas, the last of which is Hamoytzi Mirishus L'Rishus, a person who carries an item from one domain to another domain. And this is derived from Klal Yisrael's travels, or as all of the Lamentes Malachas are derived from the construction of the Mishkan, but particularly the Isser of Haitzah was found in Klal Yisrael's travels throughout the Midbar. They would take their items from their private rishos into the rishos hayachid, into the rishos harabim, to the public domain of where they were traveling from one place to the other, which of course they did not do. That this was done in the Malachas HaMishkan, as they donated their items from rishos hayachid to the general rishos harabim, and they refrained from doing so on Shabbos. So that is the last in the list of the Lamentes Avos Malachas is Haitzah Mirishus Lirishus. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos and Daf Tzadi Vav actually brings a pasuk in Parshas Vayakel, which specifically addresses the Yisur of Haitzah, because the pasuk says, "Vayikaleh ha'ame havi." When Shabbos came, people stopped bringing their items to the Malachas HaMishkan. So you see that there was a prohibition to carry items from one place to another on Shabbos. Taisus asks, "Why do we need a pasuk that specifically informs us of the Yisur of Haitzah? We don't have that by the other Malachas. We have Loisavaru Eish." From which the Gemara says, why does the Torah go out of its way to inform us of the Malach of Havara? Maybe it's because it's a Chalek Yatzas. Anyway, all the entire discussion of the Gemara. But why is it that the Isur of Haitzah is mentioned explicitly? So Tosfos explains, I'm sorry, the Gemara already explains, that it's because, I think the Tosfos actually has it, because it's Haitzah's Malacha Gruahi, because it's an inferior Malacha. Why is Haitzah any worse than all the other Malachas? Because nothing changes. All the other Malachas, you go about creating a change. If you built something, you destroyed something, you cooked something, before it was one item, now it's a different item. However, in the Malach of Haitzah, all you did was move an item from place to place. So that's why the Isur of Haitzah is described by the Rishonim, Tosfos and Shabbos and Daf Beis and Aleph, as a Malach Gruahi, as an inferior Malach, and it might have ramifications with regards to other areas of Halacha, that it's described as a Malach Gruah. But either way, Haitzah is one of the Lamentes Avos Malachas. It's even mentioned explicitly in a pasuk in Parshas Vayakel. Not only is Haitzah include if a person moves an item from Rishus Hayachah to Rishus Harabim or vice versa, but even if you carry it four Amos in the Rishus Harabim, Maver Daud Amos Rishus Harabim, the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos is a halacha l'moshe misinai. That's also an Isur of Haitzah midaraisa, which is halacha l'moshe misinai. The Baal HaMor explains in the Gemara Masechet Shabbos that the rationale behind it is because every person is entitled to Daud Amos as personal space. So if you move an item from your Daud Amos to a different Daud Amos, that's the equivalent of taking it from one Rishus to another Rishus. Even though it's all within the Rishus HaRabim, but it took it out of your personal space over here and you moved it into a different space over there. So the Halakha L'Moshe Misina is to expand Haitzom Rishus Rishus, even to include Maver Daud Amos Rishus HaRabim. So there's the Yisr of Haitzom, which is Mu'am Tess Abish Malachas, and the way we would go about carrying then, and if we want to, you know, allow people to carry in the different communities in which we might be functioning, what you have to do is go about making the entire community one Rishus HaYochid, one a private domain, in which case you'll avoid Ma'aber Daud Amos Rishus HaRabim or Motzi Mirishus Rishus, and the way we're going to do that is by building an air of around the community. There are two general attitudes towards building Erevin, and it's important to be sensitive to both of these attitudes because they really come from Mekaimotar. They really come from holy places, and we have to try and integrate or balance these two competing perspectives. On the one hand, the Gemara tells us in Masechet this Erevin and Avsanal Zayinim Beis that once they were having a Mila on Shabbos, and before Mila in the times of the Gemara, we don't do this anymore, but they used to wash the baby in hot water as an antiseptic, and then after the bris, they would wash again the baby in hot water. So you needed hot water prepared. If you're going to do a bris milah on Shabbos, you needed hot water prepared. If you didn't have hot water, that's a whole shiloh. What should you do? Should you cook the water in order to do the bris on Shabbos, or perhaps we should push aside the bris since we don't have the hot water ready? So anyway, in this, there was a bris milah in the town of Abaye on Shabbos, and the water spilled. So the rabbah who was visiting was, of course, the Rebbe of Abaye. So rabbah was visiting, said to Abaye, well, let's just bring hot water from a different house. Abaye said, we can't. There's no Erev here. So the Mordechai says, well, you see that the assumption of rabbah was that there would be an Erev. So he says that you see from here, and the Chuvas HaRosh has like this as well, that there's a mitzvah, and an obligation incumbent upon the Rav of the community, which Abaye was the Rav of the community, to make sure that there's an Erev in order to prevent people from violating the Yisr of Haitzah. And that is, of course, a great objective in our times as well, is to make sure that there's an Erev in every community, so, to prevent people, whether advertently or inadvertently, from violating the Yisr of Haitzah. And many times people will go to great lengths to fulfill that objective and that imperative of making sure that there's an Erev in the town, even if it entails relying on certain kulas which we wouldn't do perhaps even in other areas. Here we're going to have to try and come up with whatever leniency is possible, obviously within the general rubric of halachic adjudication, but functioning within the general rules of psak halacha, but to do what we can to make sure that there's an Erev in the town. At the same time, the Mishnah tells us, Masechet this Erev in Adaf Nuntes, that an Ir Shel Rabim, which is any city that has within it a Rishus HaRabim, Ein Ma'arvin Es Kula. You're not allowed to be Ma'arv the entire city. Why not? Shelo tishtakach teres haitzah. So people shouldn't be too cavalier and forget that there's an Yisr haitzah at all. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this. You're not supposed to make an Erev around the entire city that has a Rishus HaRabim because people will come to forget the Yisr of haitzah. So the Mishnah Berurah asks, how do we make Erevin in our communities? So Mishnah Berurah says, we don't have a Rishus HaRabim in our Erevin. This only implies if you had a Rishus HaRabim and then you're going to build a wall to make it no longer Rishus HaRabim, you shouldn't include the entire city. Leave part of the city out where there will be a symbolic place where there's an Yisr HaHitzah. Otherwise, people will come to forget the Yisr HaHitzah. But the Mishnah Berurah says that in our cities where we don't have a Rishus HaRabim, so then we can build an Erev around the entire thing. However, the concern of the Shulchan Aruch is true. There used to be no Erev, Rav Shechter mentioned it last year, there used to be no Erev here in Yeshiva. My time in Yeshiva, there was no Erev here. So if you lived in Morg, you had to put your key in your mailbox and then walk across to the Beis Medrash. And if you lived in Mas and you wanted to go eat in the cafeteria, you have to put your key in the Beis Medrash. Used to have mail, the lockers used to be in the Beis Medrash. So it was horrible, it looked like a locker room. But anyway, they used to put your key in your locker and then you'd go to the cafeteria to eat. And oftentimes people would make mistakes because the guys in Yeshiva here never heard of the Yisr of Haitzah in their entire lives. Where did they ever live in an area which had no Erev? And it was actually a learning experience. But this is, it's true. People, they're not even aware of how you're supposed to function in a city when there's no Erev. So Rav Moshe, actually, in his tshuva about building an Erev in Manhattan, surprisingly, one of the things that he focuses on is this concern, is that if we'll build an Erev in Manhattan, so many people will come here, they'll come to visit, and they'll think you're allowed to carry Manhattan, you're allowed to carry everywhere. People forget that there's an Yisr of Haitzah. However, Menachem Kasher, who wrote the book about the heir of Manhattan, and his Tshuvas Divrei Menachem, quotes a letter there from T. Pesach Frank, who objected to this premise of Rav Moshe, that Adarabba, we have to build an Erev in order to make sure people are not nichshol in the Yisrael Vayisrael when they come to Manhattan. Just the opposite argument. But the truth of the matter is that there's really a sensitivity on both sides, is that we have to do what we can to make sure people are nichshol in the Yisrael Vayisrael, but at the same time, people should not be too cavalier that they forget about the Yisrael Vayisrael in general. It's funny that most people think that the reason we don't build an Erev in Manhattan is for Rishus HaRabim concerns, which we'll get to a little bit later. But Rav Schwab, who the Breuer's community is very opposed to the Erev here, and when it was built, it was a source of contention for many years. I don't know if it still is, but it was at that time. So they were very opposed to it, and they always claim, the reason they were opposed to it is Rav Moshe. But the truth of the matter is, if you look in Rav Schwab's Sefer on Parshas Vayakel, on the Mayim Beis HaShoeva, so he gives a different reason, who had nothing to do with Rav Moshe and the Kavod HaTorah of Rav Moshe. The reason why they were opposed to the Erev is because Chazal tell us we don't take Shoyi from Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos, or Lulav and the Sukkah Shechalias B'Shabbos, because at least the Talmud Bavli says, Gzer Hashem Yavirenu Daud Amos B'Shus HaRabim. Maybe you'll carry it for Amos and B'Shus HaRabim to bring to a Bucky to learn how to shake or to learn how to blow. So that sounds like a very far-fetched concern. Again, Tosis and Rashi both say it doesn't mean you'll carry from Rishus HaYochah to Rishus HaRabim. It means Maver Daud Amos B'Rishus HaRabim. In order to violate Maver Daud Amos B'Rishus HaRabim, the Shofar would already have to be in the Rishus HaRabim. You picked it up in the Rishus HaRabim, then walked another 4 hours in the Rishus HaRabim and put it down. Why would you do that? If you're going to a Bucky, you would take the Shofar out of your house and bring it to the Bucky. But that's not the concern. So it's such a far-fetched concern. A shofar already in the Rishus HaRabim, you picked up and then put it back down in the Rishus HaRabim. So Schwab says, yes, you see that Chazal went to great lengths, even to be chayshish for things that are not ragil, for things that are not usual, because we have to be so careful with the Yisrael of Haitzah, because since Haitzah is Malacha Gruah, people don't really see what are you really doing anyway in the first place. Why should this be prohibited on Shabbos? Nothing changed. So therefore, people will be more cavalier with the Yisrael of Haitzah, and therefore we have to go to even greater lengths to protect the Yisrael of Haitzah, and that's why we can't make an Erev in big cities. At the same time, the Baal Shem Tev was known for being very makel in Erev. As the Pasuk says in Sefer Habakkuk, Bezoam titzad eretz, that you march through the land in anger. So the Baal Shem Tov felt that Bezoam is Barashi Tevis, Zvicha, which is Shchita, Ervin, and Mikvos, that his tafkid in this world was to be Mesak and Kashrus. Chassidim are pretty makbid about Kashrus. Ervin, that they should be Mesak and Ervin in order to prevent people from violating the Yisrael Vayitzah, and Mikvos, very makbid in restoring the importance of having a mikvah in every community. So Baal Shem Tov felt that this was his tafkid in this world, to remove the anger, to remove the zoam with zvicha, erevin, and mikvahs. So ironically, chassidim are very makel with regards to erevin. They like to have erevin in their communities. That was part of the mandate of the Baal Shem Tov. At the same time, there's that other sensitivity, and we should have an erevin in every community to make sure people are nishal in the Yisrael Vayitzah. At the same time, we have to protect the Yisrael Vayitzah, that people don't forget about it in the first place. And we have to come to some balance between these two principles, and we should be sensitive, whatever community we're in. Some stress one more than the other. Make sure that we understand that both have legitimate sources. Okay, but before jumping into how we go about building in Erevin, the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Shin Mem Hei, which we're going to try to go a little bit, I'll say to the Shulchan Aruch, outlines for us the four Reshuyos and the different contours of each one of the four Reshuyos. So the Gemara tells us in Masech the Shabbos and the Vav and Aleph that Arba Reshuyos LeShabbos. There are four Reshuyos on Shabbos: Reshus HaRabim, Reshus HaYochid, Karmelis, and Makom Tur. The Yushalmi has four Reshuyos also, but it leaves out Makom Tur and puts in a different one. Mavuos HaMefuloshos. But it leaves out Makom Tur. So Menachem Zemba has in his Sefer Toitzah Aschaim and the Isser of Toitzah, he claims that there's a fundamental machlekes here between the Bavli and the Yushalmi with regards to Makom Tur. Is Makom Tur, which we'll get to in a second, is Makom Tur just anything that doesn't fit into the other categories? It's not a Rishus HaYochid, it's not a Rishus HaRabim, and as we'll see, it's not a Karmelis either, so it's just like, you know, it's not a Rishus at all, which you could call the E-Rishus, or perhaps no, Makom Tur has its own rules and regulations, and it's just as legitimate as the other three Rishuyos. And as we'll see, there might be nafkaminas that come up with regards to Makom Tur. Is it just whenever it's not anything else, so it automatically becomes a Makom Tur, or does Makom Tur have its own distinct Rishus, like Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, and Kamalas. Either way, midoraisa, there's really only two rishuyos, as we alluded to at the beginning. There's the rishus harabim, the public domain, the rishus hayochid, the private domain. What if something doesn't fit into either one of those two categories? So midoraisa, that was called a makom ptur. Midrabanan, they took any makom ptur that has a sheer makom of dalet amos by dalet amos, and they declared that to be a kamalas, which we'll get to in a second, but is for all intents and purposes the same as a Rishus HaRabim. You're not allowed to walk for Amos within a Kamalis, just like you're not allowed to walk for Amos within a Rishus HaRabim. You're not allowed to transfer items from Rishus HaYachid into a Kamalis or from a Kamalis into a Rishus HaYachid. Any Makom Ptur, Midaraisa, meaning it's not a Rishus HaYachid, it doesn't have a Mechitzas, it's not a Rishus HaRabim, it's not heavily trafficked. So Midaraisa is a Makom Ptur. If it has a Makom of Dalet Amos, by Dalet Amos, they declared it to be a Kamalis. So any area that doesn't have Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos, it's less than that sheer makom, would be midaraisa, that would be a makom ptur. Where do you have such an example in our times? Parking meter would be a makom ptur, because it sticks out of the Rishus HaRabim. It's not part of the Rishus HaRabim. It sticks out more than three tvachim, and people don't jump on top of it, so it's not part of the Rishus HaRabim. At the same time, it's not four amas by four amas with mechitzas and all around it. So that would be, it's not a Rishus HaYachid, it's not a Rishus HaRabim, it's not four amas by four amas, so it certainly can't be a kamalas. So that would be a makom ptur, parking meter, fire hydrant. All of these things would be a makom ptur. So we're going to go through the rishuyos, trying to address the specific details regarding each one, as the Shulchan Aruch, following the pattern of the Shulchan Aruch over here in Simen Shin Mem Hei, which is the first Simen that... in the Mishnah Berurah that was on the list of Maariv Mekaymos. So the Mishnah Berurah tells us over here, commenting in the Shulchan Aruch, that in order to qualify as Rishus HaYachid, the area has to be four tefachim by four tefachim. Did I say four amas? Oh, yeah. Any area that's four tefachim by four tefachim, that was my mistake. I think that's actually a question on the test. So don't make that mistake. It's four tefachim by four tefachim is the Shir Makom. I apologize. Guys, no one corrected me. That's not a good sign. All right. That was your first thing.
It's so natural to us. We just heard.
Yeah, no, it's four tefachim by four tefachim. Shir Makom is four tefachim by four tefachim. Anyway, so in order to be a Rishus HaYachid, the first thing is that it has to be, has ten tefachim tall walls, but it also has to be, which we'll get to in a second, but it also has to be four tefachim by four tefachim. If it's less than four tefachim by four tefachim, it cannot be a Rishus HaYachid. If it's less than four tefachim by four tefachim, it wouldn't be a Kamos either. It would be a Makom Ptur. What is included in the measurement of four tefachim by four tefachim? So the Mishnah Berurah tells us over here, Sivka and Gimel, is the wall, has a machlekes rishonim, I think, whether the wall itself, meaning the area on top of the wall, is that included in measuring the four tefachim by four tefachim, is only the airspace inside of the mechitzas? And he quotes there from the Rajba, who makes a compromise that if you could put on top of it a board and stand on top of it, then the walls are included. If you can't put on top of it a board and stand, you know, where you would stand on top of it and there'd be an area for tefachim by four tefachim, so then it's not included. An interesting compromise from the Rajba. That is a machlek sevishayim that he has, how to go about measuring the four tefachim by four tefachim. Either way, that is the shiur for Shusayachar. It has to be four tefachim by four tefachim. The other... characteristic, of course, in order to qualify as a Rishus HaYachid, is that it has to have mechitzas. How many mechitzas do you need in order to qualify as a Rishus HaYachid? So the Bir Halacha and Shin Samach Gimel has machlekes Rishonim about whether midaraisa you need a four mechitzas, and midaraisa it's enough for three mechitzas, and the fourth mechitzas is only midaravanan. Machlekes Rishonim. Some held all four is daraisa, some held three is daraisa, the fourth is only midaravanan. And he quotes there actually a contradiction in the Rambam. Are all four needed midaraisa, is it only three? And Bir Halacha quotes, I think, from the Magen Mishnah, who distinguishes between whether it opens up into Rishus HaRabim, in which case you need four mechitzas midaraisa, or it opens up into a Karmos, in which case you only need three mechitzas midaraisa. The Chazon Ish claims that the only time you need, we usually assume that it's enough with three mechitzas midaraisa. The fourth mechitzas is only needed midarabanan. So, but the Chazon Ish, interesting suggestion that perhaps the only time you need three mechitzos midaraisa is if everything is at a right angle. However, if you have two mechitzos that are less than a right angle, meaning less than 90 degrees, so then that would be like a triangle, meaning the missing wall would be a triangle, would be the missing wall would be the hypotenuse of the triangle, in which case Could be if it's less than 9 degrees, less than a right angle, 2 mechitzas would be enough midaraisa. You wouldn't need 3. The Nesiva Shabbos. Nesiva Shabbos is an encyclopedic work you should be familiar with on Hilchos Erevin by Dayan Bloy. The same author as the Pischei Choshen on Choshen Mishpat. So it's a good reference saver to have. So in the Nesiva Shabbos, he has a sofek about what if you have a circular Erev. So what constitutes 3 mechitzos midaraisa? Maybe he says if it's missing anything, it's as if you don't have the proper number of mechitzos. And maybe he says, you know, if you have 3/4 of the circle, it's hard to know what's called a mechitza if you have a circular eruv. But most of our eruvin have bars and things, and, you know, flat linear parts. But he discussed, what if you have a circle eruv? Well, how would we figure out what is 3 mechitzos midaraisa? This comes up in sukkah. She was learning sukkah, but the Gemara says himself the Shabbat sukkah and the Zayin Mevez. If you have a sukkah, so you could kivshan. So then the Gemara discusses how big it has to be in order to be kosher. So Sfasema says, but 1 minute, in order, the minimum shear for sukkah is time kilchasin shlishis afilu tefach. So he's a suffix. What if you don't have an entire circle? You just have part of a circle. Where's the time kilchasin shlishis afilu tefach? Maybe if it's missing anything already, it's not. It's as if it has no mechitzas. Maybe you have to have an entire circle, otherwise it's garnished. Anyway, interesting suffix. What constitutes a mechitza? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us over here, Shim Mem Hei, Siv Beis, that there's 3 types of mechitzas. You could have a chayritz, which is a ditch. You could have an omud, which is a pillar, that on top of it will be a rishus hayachid. Or you could have a mechitza, which is your standard wall. I've shafted a quote from the Tshuva of the Chachan Tzvi, that all 3 of these could be mitzdarif with one another. The Gemara has Gidud Chamisha, Mechitza Chamisha, Gemara Mesech is Gittin, and elsewhere. You can have a ditch of 5 tefachim and a mechitza of 5 tefachim, and those 2 are mitzdarif together with one another, even in the same mechitza. Certainly, if you have 1 bar of the Erev, which is charitz, other bar, which is a mechitza, certainly that would be mitzdarif one with the other. But even if you have within the same mechitza itself, part of it is a ditch, meaning on the other side it's lower down, and then but it's only 5 tefachim lower than where I'm standing. So if I build on top of that the drop another 5 tefachim of mechitza, so they have 5 tefachim of mechitza with the 5 tefachim of charitz will be mitzdarif in order to consider it to be a mechitza to form a rishus hayachid. So even within the mechitza itself, you could be mitzdarif sometimes these two forms or genres of mechitza. So rishus hayachid, yeah. Chacham Tzvi says that you don't have to have an Erev all of Charitz, an Erev all of Mechitza, all of Amud. You can be mitzdarif one with the other.
Walls.
Yeah.
Also within walls.
The Gemara has, though, Gidur Chamitza, Mechitza Chamitza, which means you have a platform with a wall. So you see, you could be mitzdarif even within the same Mechitza to form, you could be mitzdarif these two types. So that's the in order to be Rishus HaYachid, has to be 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, and has to have mechitzos or of a 10 tefachim tall. Once you have a Rishus HaYachid, so there are some unique characteristics that exist by Rishus HaYachid that don't necessarily exist by the other Rishuyas. First thing is, you'll notice as you go through Shin Mem Hei, if you collect them, you'll notice some important differences. The first one is, the Ramah tells us all the way at the end of Shin Mem Hei, Sif Yotes, that you cannot have another Rishus inside of Rishus HaYachid. A Rishus HaYachid is basic command the Mal Yadamya. It's as if it's folded up, full. So you cannot have, let's say, a Carmelis in Rishus HaYachid. Once your backyard is sealed off, it's fenced in, everything inside of it becomes a Rishus HaYachid. So let's say you have a fire hydrant in your backyard, or you have a fire hydrant, let's say we put a building area around the whole community, and now you have a parking meter. The parking meter is no longer a makom ptur. The parking meter becomes part of the Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaYachid swallows up all the other Rishuyas that are inside of it. And that's one difference, which does not exist by Rishus HaRabim. That's not going to exist by a Karmelis either. If you have Rishus HaRabim, and then you have something sticking out of the Rishus HaRabim, 3 tefachim, so if you look through the rules of the Shulchan Aruch, you'll figure out that at a certain point, it's no longer part of the Rishus HaRabim, because people don't trample on it. It's not part of the Hiluch HaRabim. So then you can have a Makom Tur, you can have a Karmelis inside of a Rishus HaRabim. Here, the street is Rishus HaRabim, Matak of parking meter is a Makom Tur. It doesn't exist by Rishus HaYachid, yeah.
That's something the Mechitas are still nicker by Rishus HaYachid, right? And if it's so big,
then... Oh, yeah, we'll get to that, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Rishos.
It's an important difference, but we'll first of all, you should know that it's not a makom tor, it's part of the Rishos HaYachid. It's one of the unique things of Rishos HaYachid. But we're going to get to there's going to be a difference. You'll see. By Carmelis, it'll be a big difference.
So if you threw something from
the right. If it landed in makom tor. So he's saying a difference. A second difference is that's found over here in Shulchan Aruch Sif Hei is Avi Rishos HaYachid Ki Rishos HaYachid. Since the Rishos HaYachid has to have mechitzas around it, the mechitzas of the Rishos HaYachid, presumably, I say presumably because it's more complicated than that, but presumably we say good asik mechitzah, and the mechitzas go all the way up to Shamayim, which includes the airspace above the Rishos HaYachid. So the airspace of the Rishos HaYachid is considered to be part of the Rishos HaYachid. The Shulchan Aruch tells us in Sif Yud Beis that is not the case with regards to Rishos HaRabim. Rishos HaRabim only goes up 10 tefachim. Above 10 tefachim, the airspace of Rishos HaRabim is considered to be a makom ptur. So let's say I'm standing on the 185th Street over here, what used to be 185th Street was a Rishos HaRabim, and I would throw from the building of Gluck on top of, the roof of Gluck to the roof of First Hall. So then, if the 185th Street was Rishos HaRabim, but it passed in the airspace of Rishos HaRabim and landed on top of First Hall, so that would be throwing from Rishos HaYachid through a makom ptur to another Rishos HaYachid, which would be mutar on Shabbos. The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't do that because you might miss, in which case you'll violate the Isur Haitzos. But in theory, that would be okay. Or even if I took, let's say, those sticky balls, the like sticky man that like slowly move down the, you know what I'm talking about. If I threw it from a window, the windows here in this building don't open because they're afraid, chas v'shalom, of people jumping out. But if you threw like a hospital, but if you threw the ball against First Hall and it stuck to the wall, so then it was in the airspace of Rishos HaRabim, it wouldn't be considered to be an Iser Vaitzah. But that's unique to Rishos HaYachid. The airspace of Rishos HaYachid is Rishos HaYachid, but not the airspace of Rishos HaRabim. The third unique characteristic of Rishos HaYachid is found over here in Siv Vav, that Kalim can be a Rishos HaYachid. If it has the proper size and dimensions, it could be a Rishos HaYachid. The Shmir Shabbos Kochasa is quick to point out that a table is not considered to be Rishos HaYachid because it doesn't have walls. If it's tall enough, it could be a Tzuras HaPesach, for Tzuras HaPesach, and be constructed properly with Al Gabayims and all that kind of business. But, barring that possibility, a table is not Rishos HaYachid because it has no walls. But if you'd have, let's say, a box that's outside, so then that could be a Rishos, if it has the proper specifications, could be a Rishos HaYachid. Or you have a refrigerator outside. I don't know why you do that, but then that could also be, a Rishos HaYachid, even by Kalim. Certainly, Rishos HaRabim cannot exist by Kalim. Rishos HaRabim, by definition, is something that people trample on. But the Mishnah Berurah writes over here, Sivkon Tezayin, there's no Kamalis by Kalim. Kamalis doesn't exist by Kalim. Why? They were never guys of the Rishos of Karmelis by Kalim. Kalim are not significant enough that was included in the Gzer of Karmelis. So there's no Karmelis by Kalim. What if you have then a refrigerator in the Rishos HaRabim that sticks up out of the Rishos HaRabim 3 Tvachim, so it's no longer part of the Rishos HaRabim, it's not trampled on, and it sticks up out, but it can't be part of the Rishos HaRabim. It's not tall enough. It's not 10 tefachim tall to be considered Rishos HaYachid, or maybe it's not 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide. So it's not going to be a kamalis and kamalis bekalim. Even if it is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, where it could have been a kamalis and kamalis bekalim. So what is the story then with this refrigerator in the Rishos HaRabim? What would be the status of it? So the Shaar Tzion writes over here, Sivkon Tezvav, that there are some who say it should be a makom ptur. However, then the Shaar Tzion quotes from a Meiri, just like there's no Kamalis in Bekalim, there's no Makom Ptur Bekalim either. So I thought these two opinions are that Chakira from a Menachem Zemer that we had before. What is the nature of Makom Ptur? Is Makom Ptur Rishus that you have to have like formal specifications, just like Kamalin, Kamalis Bekalim, a Makom Ptur Bekalim? Or maybe no, Makom Ptur is just like that failsafe. Anything that's not anything else is by definition a Makom Ptur. So then, of course, it's Makom Ptur by Kalim. It's like the fail-safe. But or maybe the Meiri says, no, maybe a makom ptur is also considered to be a rishus, and therefore there's a threshold. And if it's not I don't know what it would be then. Maybe go back to, I don't know. If it's not a makom ptur, then what is it? But maybe reverse back to being part of the Rishos HaRabim. Anyway, so that's those are three differences that we find between Rishus HaYochanan and the other Rishuyos. The first is it's Mavato, anything else inside of it. Then also, Avi Rishus HaYochanan is Rishus HaYochanan that doesn't exist by Rishus HaRabim. And Rishus HaYochanan can exist by Kalim as opposed to a Karmelis, or Rishus HaRabim cannot exist by Kalim. The fourth and final difference between Rishus HaYochanan and the other Rishuyos is that Rishus HaYochanan has, what's described over here by the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Dawud, as Chorin, appendages. Once you have a Rishus HaYochanan, you can have which has the proper dimensions. You can have an appendage to the Rishus HaYochid, Chayre Rishus HaYochid, which is also considered to be part of the Rishus HaYochid. A good example of Chayre would be a window ledge or a porch. Could be Chayre Rishus HaYochid. Whereas the Ramah describes, The Ramah describes that there's no Chayre by the other Rishuyos. There's no Chayre by Rishus HaRabim. There's no Chayre by Karmelis. Rather, the Mishnah Berurah says over here, Sivka and Yeralov, that it's Nidon Kefi Midoy Sehem. It's judged based on its midos, meaning based on its own merits. If it's 4x4 tefachim, and then it would be, and it's, you know, then it would be a makom p'tur, a karmelis. If it's less than 4x4 tefachim, it would be a makom p'tur. If it's within 3 tefachim, the shusar rabim, then it would be part of the shusar rabim. You know, all of the specifications of how you would judge a rishus, that's not a rishus hayachid. But it's not considered to be, well, since it's adjacent or connected to Rishus HaRabim, it automatically becomes part of Rishus HaRabim. That doesn't exist with regards to the Rishuyos. That's something that's unique to Rishus HaYochid. The Mishnah Berurah over here, though, Sifka and Tess, and Sifka and Yud, has machlokes Rishonim about when we should apply this concept of Chayyur Rishus HaYochid. Some Rishonim held it's only if it's 4 Tefachim by 4 Tefachim wide. Another group of Rishonim held, so that's one machlokes. Does it have to be 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim? Meaning, would a window ledge really be a chayre rishus hayachid if it's less than 4 tefachim wide? Another machlokes, some held yes, even if it's less, some held it has to be 4 tefachim wide. Then the Mishnah Berurah and Sifka and Yud quotes another machlokes of Rishonim. Does it have to be 10 tefachim above the ground? Not have walls of 10 tefachim, that's the rishus hayachid in its own right. Does it have to be 10 tefachim above the ground? Because if it's less than 10 tefachim above the ground, then the B'nai rishus harabim use it. They stoop their stuff there. So maybe it has to be above 10 tefachim from the ground. A nafka mina, though, will be, where do you have chayre rishus hayachid? It will be if, let's say, you have a porch that's on stilts. So there's no mechitzos, but it's attached to the home. So a porch would be a good example, or a deck. A deck would be chayre rishus hayachid. So even though, let's say, the deck, if you were to measure it by its own merits, does not have walls of 10 tefachim tall, as long as it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, and it's 10 tefachim above the ground. A lot of times the deck is less than that, but if it's 4 tefachim above the ground, even though it doesn't have walls all the way around it, it might be considered to be Rishus HaYochid by virtue of the fact that it's Chayri Rishus HaYochid. Yeah.
If it wasn't 4 tefachim above the ground,
a machlekes whether it's chayre rishus hayachid or not. It's just to point it out that there's a dilemma, because if it's 4 tefachim above the ground, you have to build a wall because of makah. Otherwise, people could fall off and kill themselves. So you have to have a wall either way. But if it's less than 4 tefachim, if it's less than 10 tefachim above the ground, some Rishonim would hold as chayre rishus hayachid, some Rishonim might disagree. Either way, so to carry there, you're going to have to satisfy all of the opinions. But what about what about to be chayshesh l'chumra? We're going to have to be chayshish l'chumra, even if it's less than 4 tefachim, and even if it's less than 10 tefachim above the ground, we have to be chayshish that anything that's attached to Rishus HaYochid is a Rishus HaYochid. So therefore, the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa raises the issue about, let's say a person's carrying in an area where there's no Erev. For those people who don't carry in Washington Heights, I don't know if you even still see this anymore. In my time, it was very common. Everybody used to have this. Is you had a key, the key belt, where the key plays an integral part of the belt. If you just have a key wrapped, a string wrapped around your neck, that's called hoitzah. It doesn't do anything. Unless you have like a necklace of keys. But otherwise, which you wear during the week too. But otherwise, that's just, instead of doing hoitzah in your pocket, you're doing hoitzah around your neck. And if it plays a role in your belt, okay, so then it's a part of your clothing. And you can walk around with it in the Rishus HaRabim. So great, so you have your patent, you have your fancy belt. Now you're going to get to your front door of your apartment building. What are you going to do? Get undressed. You're going to take off your belt. Stick your key into the door. But a lot of times the doors here don't unlock, and then you put it back in your belt. A lot of times you have to turn and push. So you just push the key inside of the house. But even if it's not turn and push, even if it's just unlock, and then you get dressed again, and then you walk inside. Even if that's the case, you're sticking the key into the keyhole. What's the keyhole? Chayre Rishus HaYachid. That's it's less than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. It might be 10 tefachim above the ground. But either way, we have to be chayshish. There's some shittas that would be called Chayre Rishus HaYachid. How then can you take your key while standing in the Rishus HaRabim or in the Kamalis and stick it into the door? You just violated the Yisrael Haitzah. So the Shmir Shabbos Kelchazit distinguishes between the proverbial keyhole, which you can peep through. That's Chayre Rishus HaYachid, as opposed to our key mechanisms, which have a lock in the middle, and you can't see through. So he claims, the outside side of the lock is not Chayre Rishus HaYachid. The Bnei Rishus HaYachid can't use it at all. That's Chayre Rishus HaRabim. So it's nothing. It's a makom tur. It's less than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. It's a garnish. So you can stick your key in. Okay, so maybe that's true. But what about the turn and push? I just pushed my key inside of the thing. So first of all, you have to put your foot there, hold the door open, take the key back, put it in your belt before walking inside. You can't just walk inside with your key. Otherwise, you accomplish nothing. You just took the key from where you were standing and walked inside while carrying it. So you'd have to take the key out, hold, prop the door open, put it back in your belt. But how can you even turn and push? You just push the key half inside. So in the truth is Betzel HaChachma, which is Betzel Stern, who's a Rav in Vienna. So he quotes from Mishnah Berurah later on in Shin Nun Beis Sifka in Yud that at least if you're in a Karmelis, if you take a half an item and I insert half an item into a Karmelis, from a Karmelis into Rishus HaYachid, the Mishnah Berurah says that's not an Iser Vaitzah. Only if you insert the entire item. Okay, so he says you have to be careful to leave part of the key outside. But you can't turn and push and open the door like this. Then you just inserted the whole thing inside while standing in the karmos. You'd have to turn and push a little bit, prop it open, and put it back in your belt, and then walk inside. Yeah.
This also means no second door in the building.
You're saying, I'm talking about how do you get from the karmos outside to inside the building.
A lot of times the front door is just a push, mamish no key, and the second door has a key.
Oh, and you're standing inside. That's wonderful.
It's the building, it's push them into it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure.
Or that there's
the outside door here doesn't have a key on it?
In my building, it doesn't.
On 186, 187th Street, they don't have keys. Really?
The second set of doors is the key.
Ah, so the outside door, no key.
With the steps leading up to an apartment building, for example, even if it's under 10 feet.
Oh, we'll get to 1 second. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch says over here, Shin Mem Vav Siv Gimel, that if there's an eskupa, a stoop in front of the house, so if it has the midos of Rishus HaYachid, so then when you walk there with your belt, so then you got your key into the Rishus HaYachid in a permissible way by wearing it as part of your clothing. If it doesn't have the dimensions of Rishus HaYachid, your stoop, so then it's treated like the Rishus Shulfaneha. It's treated like the rest of the Karmelis, the Rishus HaRabim, whatever Rishus is adjacent to. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah writes, Sifkan Lamed Aleph, if you're carrying a key as part of your clothing, you have to be careful. Or if you have a key on the stoop, he says you have to be careful not to take the key out of the stoop, open the door, and bring the key inside. Because the stoop is the status of a Karmelis, and if you can't open the door and bring the key inside, otherwise you'd be carrying from the Karmelis into the Rishus HaYachid. So you'd have to open the door, put the key back underneath the mat, and then walk inside. However, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav asks, why isn't the front stoop Chayre Rishus HaYachid? It's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, even if it doesn't have mechitzas, but it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, and 10 tefachim tall. Or even if it's not, at least according to some Rishonim, it should have the status of Chayre Rishus HaYachid. So Shulchan Aruch HaRav gives an important rule in applying Chayre Rishus HaYachid. He says it's only if it's only for the usage of the Bnei HaBayis, for the Bnei Rishus HaYachid. Over here, the stoop is just as much for the use of the people who live in the house as it is for the people traveling to Rishus HaRabim. The mailman's going to put his stuff there. The guy giving out the menus is going to put his stuff there. Everybody's putting their stuff there. Anybody can walk onto the stoop. It's not trespassing. So the stupor, who's to say it's really Chayre Rishus HaYachid? Maybe it's part of the Karmelis. So he says a front stoop will never be Chayre Rishus HaYachid if it could be used by both the Bnei Rishus HaRabim as well as the Bnei Rishus HaYachid. It's only on a back porch or something, a deck, that we could begin to have the discussion. So that's the unique characteristic aspects of a Rishus HaYachid. In order to be Rishus HaYachid, it has to be 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim and have mechitzas of 10 tefachim tall. Shulchan Aruch tells us over here in Sif Yudalit that a Karmelis is any area that doesn't have, that's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, again, but does not have mechitzos. So Shulchan Aruch says, what is an example of a Karmelis? Is a bika of alley, you know, there's no mechitzos there, but it certainly has a shir makom, or even the yam, a water, body of water, the status of a Karmelis. People don't walk there, so it's not a Rishus HaRabim, but it's not a Rishus HaYachid because it doesn't have walls. So that would be, but it does have a sheer makom of dal and not like a parking meter or fire hydrant. So that would be a karmelis. The Magen Avraham is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkam Mem Ches. Asks, why isn't there a body of water, Rishus HaYachid? Because there's walls around it. If you look, you know, you drain the lake, you'll see that it goes down. It is an incline. So it should have the status of Rishus HaYachid, the water, because there's mechitzas around the lake. So the Magen Avraham claims the only time that a body of water is treated like a karmelis is if you would drain the pond, you would see that it doesn't go at a steep enough incline to be considered a tail mislake, which we'll get to next time. It's a gradual incline. Since it's a gradual incline and not a steep incline, it doesn't constitute a mechitza. Then the Mishnah Berurah quotes from a Meiri, that the Meiri says, no, the reason why these bodies of water are karmelis and not Rishus HaYachid is because the rule of the Ramban, which was addressing Tosis' question in Erev and Adav Chav Beis, why isn't every continent a Rishus HaYachid? Because there's a continental shelf around the continent. There's a severe drop if you go far enough off the coast. So the Ramban explains, because in order to be a Rishus HaYachid, you have to feel somewhat enclosed within the Rishus. If the Mechitzas are so far away from you, you don't feel enclosed, so then that's not considered a Rishus HaYachid. So the Rav Moshe, as well as the Chayyadim, give the shear of Tezayin Am in every direction. So that would have meaning, if it's 32 Amos wide by 32 Amos, so then that's too big, the Mechitzas don't even relate to you. You don't even feel enclosed. So many times, Tezayin Am in every direction. This is just here from Maaser Behema. If I'm standing here and there's an animal over here that participates in Maaser Behema, there's an animal in this direction, Tezayin Am. So Ramesha says, so then it's probably across 32 Amas. So if you have 32 Amas by 32 Amas, then the Mechitzas are so far apart, which is not so big. 32 Amas by 32 Amas, then already you don't feel enclosed. And many times, lakes and these kinds of things that have these kinds of severe drops, which actually could constitute a mechitza, are much bigger than that. And therefore, the Meiri says, since you don't feel enclosed, the body of water would be a kamos and not a rishus hayachid.
Sorry, where's 32 come from?
It's a shear from Maaser Behema. That if you have an animal over here and an animal, if you're separating Maaser Behema, so the you count 1, 2, 3, 4, and the 10th one is Maaser Behema. So in order for them all to be considered as part of the 10, they have to be somewhat in the same area.
The walls can't be farther apart than
32
miles.
If it's so far apart,
right.
Then right. So sometimes our Erevin are much bigger than that. So it could be the Ramban is probably only talking about natural walls.
Right. So that was in the Maryland.
Yeah. If it's natural walls, but here with no lake, we're talking about natural walls.
Right.
The usual.
We have that many cases where you have two lakes that are so close to each other.
Yeah. It has to be natural walls. There's another type of... So one type of karmelis is that it's not a Rishus HaYachid, it's Midai Raisa. It's a Makom Ptur Midai Raisa valley. There's no walls, not a Rishus HaYachid, but it's not a Rishus HaRabim either. So it's a Makom Ptur, and they've declared it as a karmelis. But there's another type of karmelis, which is an area that's Rishus HaYachid Midai Raisa. Let's say it has three walls, and there's no fourth wall. So that Midai Raisa is a Rishus HaYachid. As we said, most Rishonim assume three mechitzas is enough to be Rishus HaYachid Midai Raisa. The fourth wall is needed Midai Rabbanon. So that's a Rishus HaYachid Midai Raisa, which Midai Rabbanon, they said, you know what, if you don't have a fourth wall, we're going to treat it like a karmelis. And you can't carry four Amos, you can't carry four Adal Amos Rishus HaRabim, or in the karmelis. And you can't transfer an item from Rishus HaYachid into this area, which only has three walls. So that's a different type of karmelis. That's really Rishus HaYachid Midai Raisa. But Midrash Rabbanan, they said you can't carry there. Or another example of that is what the Shulchan Aruch describes as Shin Mem Vav Sif Gimel, which is a karpif, which is an area that's loy hukuf ledira. It has a mechitzos, but it wasn't put up for living purposes. It was put up in order to guard vegetables or something. So, or if you have, yeah. So if the mechitzos are loy hukuf ledira, inside of this area, you have an area which is a beis asayim, 500 amos by 100 amos, which no one lives there. So then you're not allowed to carry in that area. That's called the karpif. We'll discuss maybe the specifics of it next time. So you're not allowed to carry in an area called the karpif. So that is Rishus HaYachid Midai Raisa. Even if you have walls that are put up Shelo Hukuf Lidira, it's Rishus HaYachid Midai Raisa. But they said since it's not put up for residential purposes, so then you're not allowed to carry there. So that's a different type of karpif. And the Mishnah Berurah points this out. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifka in Yod Zayin tells you there's really two types of karpifos. Two types of karmelis. One is Makom Ptur Midai Raisa, one is Rishus HaYachid Midai Raisa. And the Mishnah Berurah says we treat them all the same. Meaning you're allowed to stick an item while standing in one karmelis into the other type of karmelis. Even though this is a makom tur midoraisa, that's a Rosh Hashanah midoraisa, this is one type of karmelis. That's another type of karmelis. We treat them all as the same karmelis. They're all considered to be one, for all intents and purposes, the same. But since a karmelis, at least in its ancestry, is for the most part, you know, sometimes a makom tur, so there's an interesting ramification of that. The Ramah writes over here in Sifri Yotes again that within a Rishus HaYachid you can't have another Rishus. Rishus HaYachid eats up everything that's inside of it. What about can I have a makom tur inside of a karmelis? You can certainly have a karmelis inside, a makom tur inside of Rishus HaRabim. If I have a fire hydrant or a parking meter inside of Rishus HaRabim, that's not the Rishus HaRabim, that's a makom tur. Can I have a makom tur inside of a karmelis? So one opinion was yes. Just like a Rishus HaRabim, you can have a makom tur. So too in a karmelis, you can have a makom tur. Then the Ramah quotes another opinion that no, you can't have a makom tur in a karmelis because matzah minas minoy v'neyer. It's like a Yoredeya term. But what it means is that since we decreed that this area is considered to be a karmelis, we did so with a broad stroke and we included everything that's inside that's not a Rishus HaYochid. So we included the parking meters and the fire hydrants. The whole thing becomes a karmelis. You can't have a makom tur in a karmelis. Matzah minas mina v'neyer. Its ancestry comes back to haunt it, and now it loses its status of makom tur. It gets swept up as being part of the karmelis. The Yecheskel Bramsky writes in the Sefer Chazon Yecheskel Masechta Shabbos. This also depends. What is the status of a makom tur? Is a makom tur an own rishus? In which case, it doesn't get swept up with a karmelis. Just because its ancestry was karmelis had an ancestry as a makom tur, and we declared that makom tur as a karmelis. We don't declare every makom tur as a karmelis. Makom tur is a chashuv azach. It's a fourth rishus, or maybe no. Maybe a makom tur is just anything that's not another rishus. In which case, if we're going to declare the larger makom tur as a karmelis, okay, so the other stuff gets swept along with it. Doesn't have any, its own integrity as a rishus, in which case it gets swept along. So he claims that issue, this machlex in 2 days in the Ramah, also depends on this issue. What is the status of a makom tur? The Mishnah Berurah says, "Our minig is lahachmir, that we don't have a makom tur inside of a karmelis, and it has a nafkamina lamaisa, because the Shulchan Aruch says in Chin Mem Vav Sif Aleph, in order to violate haitzah and Shabbos, you have to pick it up in one rishus and put it down in another rishus. This comes up: a person's going in a place where there's no eruv, and he realizes he has tissue in his pocket, whatever, a note in his pocket." So what should he do while he's walking around? The big problem. You don't have time to look it up because you're walking in the middle of Rishus HaRabim with a key in your pocket. What do you do now? So the Sfarim give different advice. What's the best way to minimize the Yisurim over here? You're walking down Amos Rishus HaRabim, that's true. Yeah. But you have to, in order to violate Mavi down Amos Rishus HaRabim, you have to pick it up in the Rishus HaRabim and put it down in the Rishus HaRabim. So let's say you walk out of the Rishus HaYachid, you picked it up. In order to be Chayef HaYitzah, you'd have to put it down in the Rishus HaRabim. So one idea is, just keep walking, never stop. And walk back into the Rishus HaYachid from which you came. So then you never had a Hanach in the Rishus HaRabim. You had an Akira from Rishus HaYachid, never had a Hanach in the Rishus HaRabim. Or you could just keep walking, put it down in another Rishus HaYachid, which is an Nisim Midrabanan, but at least it's only an Nisim Midrabanan. Another possibility, perhaps the best idea, is put it down in a Makom Tur, take the item, and put it down on top of a fire hydrant. So that only works if you're in a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. If you're in Times Square, so then such an Eitzah would work. But if you're in any other area which might be considered a Karmelis, so then that Eitzah, let's say I walk out in an area where I'm in some suburban community on some Kiruv mission and there's no Eruv over there, and I realize I have the directions in my pocket. So you can't put it down on a fire hydrant or a parking meter in order to remove yourself from the Isur of Haitzah, because it's a Karmelis anyway, this little suburban community. So you're going to put it down a parking meter, Matzah Minas Mina, V'neyer, and that becomes itself part of the Karmelis. So you haven't helped yourself. You'd have to walk into another Rishus HaYachid or back to the Rishus HaYachid from where you came. The Mishnah Berurah says, yeah.
It's all the Karmelis with Tefillah, the whole list of put down with the Durban anyway, so my mother can bring
it to another You're thinking. Good. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe not. Maybe it wouldn't. What have you solved? Good horror. The Mishnah Berurah tells us over here, Sif Kana and Gimel, as we are commenting in the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Yud Ches, that Karmelis, we give it the Kulois of Rishus HaYachid and the Kulois of Rishus HaRabim. What does that mean? It means it doesn't get, it's not entitled to the benefit of Chayrim, like the appendages of Rishus HaYachid, a part of Rishus HaYachid, that doesn't exist by Karmelis, it has the Kulois of Rishus HaRabim. But it also has the Kulois of Rishus HaRabim that it only is Toifes Adasar Tvachim, it only goes up 10 Tvachim in the air above 10 tefachim in a kamelis is also like a makom tur, just like a rishus harabim, but it has a kula rishus hayachid that it's only if it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. If it's less than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, then it can't be a kamelis either. So it has the kulois of a kamelis rishus hayachid and kulois of rishus harabim. The Gemara says Masechta the Shabbos ain kamelis l'mala me'asara. So Mr. Brura and Sifkan Samach Vav quotes Machlekes Rishonim. Some Rishonim understood that just to just be articulating what we just said. That just like a Rishus HaRabim only goes 10 Tefachim into the air, above 10 Tefachim, above a Rishus HaRabim is a Makom Tur. So to a Kamelis, only is Teufis Ad Asara, the first 10 Tefachim are part of the Kamelis, above that is not part of the Kamelis, it's a Makom Tur. However, other Rishonim are of the opinion that, and this is the opinion of the Gra and the Yushalmi, and that is that, that no, what it means is you can't have a kamelis that's 10 tefachim above the ground. Any ground level that's 10 tefachim above the ground, that's elevated 10 tefachim above the ground, is no longer can no longer be considered a kamelis. You cannot have a suspended kamelis. Kamelis is ein kamelis. That's what it means. Ein kamelis l'mala me'asara. This comes up in the following situation. The Gemara tells us Masechtas Eruvin that you can't. We don't say good asik mechitza by a mechitza that's in any karis. If you can't see the mechitza, it's not nikar, it's not recognizable, we don't say good asik mechitza. Even though normally when you have a mechitza, we view it halacha l'maish misina, we view it as if it goes all the way up to the sky. If it's not nikar, we don't say good asik mechitza. So because of that, the Taisus there discusses a situation of agag haboyret. Agag haboyret is this situation. It looks like this. You have, I think I've shot the Jewish picture. You have a building and a roof that extends. Assume this is four-dimensional. Right? So this wall, it's a good asik mechitza. This is an apartment building. So the Gemara says if you have an apartment building next to an apartment building, so this wall is not nikar, and you need an eir chatzeros on these two properties, between A and B. Because there's no, even though there's a wall down here, we don't say good asik mechitza because it's not nikar. Okay, that's the context of the Gemara. But let's say you have now this gaga right over the apartment building. So what is this mechitza is no longer nikar. So what is the status up here, on top? What is the status of the gag? So the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Tezayin that it's considered to be a karmelis. Why? Because it's four tefachim by four tefachim, but it doesn't have mechitzas. So therefore it's a karmelis. The Mishnah Berurah and Sifkan Samachay quotes the opinion of the Gra that it's a makom tur. Why? Because based on the Yushalmi, that you can't have a karmelis, the Malmei Asar, this is 10 tefachim above the ground, and you can't have a karmelis that's suspended in midair or atop of the building, it's 10 tefachim above the ground, cannot be a karmelis. The Bir Alocha, though, then quotes a third opinion. The third opinion is Taisus' opinion, himself. He quotes these two opinions. One opinion that it's a karmelis, one opinion that it's a makom tur. Then Taisus says it depends how big this part of the roof is, area A. Let's say this is area B. How big is area A? So Taisa says if it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, then the whole thing is a karmelis. If it's less than 4 tefachim by 4, if this is less than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, then it's a rishus hayachid. Then area B is a rishus hayachid. Why should it matter? Huh?
Area B or area?
No. If this is, it depends. If this is,
but the question is about A.
If this is more than 4 tefachim, then it's a karmelis. Right. If it's less than 4 tefachim,
that's the
Bole
part, yeah.
The Bole part, area A, yeah. So, what's the pshat in that Tosfos? So, the Chazanish claims, and this is Rav Shechter favors, that the reason is because if it's less than 4 tefachim, the mechitza is still nikar. Look, I could just like lean over and I still see it. So less than 4 tefachim, it's still nikar. More than 4 tefachim, now already it's not nikar. And it's not recognizable, and therefore it's boxed out, so to speak. And therefore, on top of it is an area that's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim without mechitzas, so automatically becomes a karmelis. And they reject the opinion of the Gra and the Yushalmi. They say, "In karmelis, l'mal me'asar me'asar means you can't have a karmelis suspended above 10 tefachim off the ground. With in karmelis, l'mal me'asar means it's only toifes ad asar tefachim like Rosh Hashanah." However, the Marsha on that toifes, and Rav Moshe subscribes to this opinion, the Igros Moshe, is of the opinion that they know it's for a different reason. It's because area B is always a Rishus HaYachid Midaraisa. Always a Rishus HaYachid. But if this is more than 4 tefachim, so then now it's Nifrat L'makom HaAsulo. This area is has no machitzas. This area is always Rosh Hashayach because of the machitzas over here. This area, if it's four tefachim by four tefachim, so now if it's four tefachim wide, this area certainly has no machitzas. There's nothing underneath here. It's a balcony. So then it would be a karmelis, because it's even if you hold the karmelis can be suspended in the air. I'm sorry, if you hold the karmelis can be suspended in the air, so then this is an area that's 4x4 without machitza. So this would be a karmelis. Oh, now I have a problem over here too. Even though this is Rosh Hashayach because there's walls over here, it's now nifrats. It opens up into an area where you can't carry. So now I can't carry here either. That's the concept called nifrats l'makom ha'osalo. Even if this area is by its own merits, is Rosh Hashayach, if it opens up to an area we can't carry, so now it's called nifrats l'makom ha'osalo. So if it opens up to an area that's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, so then on top of the building you can't carry either because it's nifrats l'makom ha'osalo. But Ramesha and the Marsha both imply that on top of the building, to say explicitly, on top of the building is Rosh Hashayach either way. Even if you don't have good asik mechitzta, even though the Gemara told us in Arabic we don't say good asik mechitzta, it's not ikar, and therefore even though the Gan Ha'Boreit is protruding over the wall of the building, doesn't matter. On top of it is Rosh Hashayach, even without good asik mechitzta. You can have Rosh Hashayach without good asik mechitzta. This comes up in it's not only Ramesh's opinion, it's not only the Marsha. It seems to be that that's the opinion of the Rambam. The Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah, and the Avdalim Beis, Rav Shechta mentioned it as well, that if you had, in order to be a kosher sukkah, it has to be 10 tefachim tall. So that's in 10 tefachim tall, it's no good. So the Gemara says, what if you have a sukkah, though, that's less, it's 9 tefachim tall, but you dig down in the middle a tefach? So the Gemara says, if you dig down in the middle a tefach, so then in an area that's 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim wide, that's the minimum size of a sukkah, so then the sukkah would be kosher, as long as the area that you dug down is within 3 tefachim to the walls of the sukkah. If it's more than 3 tefachim away from the walls of the sukkah, then it's no good. You know, this picture. If it had this, it's your sukkah, but it's only 9. So if you dug down the tefach, then the sukkah would be, so now it's an extra tefach, that would be 10, it's kosher. As long as this is less than 3. And then it's kosher. So the Gemara has Masechta the Shabbos, though, the same discussion. That, the same discussion, but the Gemara there does not distinguish because Rosh Hashayach, in order to be Rosh Hashayach, has to be 10 tefachim tall. But what if you have it's only 9 and you dug down a tefach? So the Gemara there never mentions that it has to be less than 3 tefachim. Same picture, but the Gemara never mentions that it has to be less than 3 tefachim to the wall. So one opinion of Taisus is, well, it's exactly the same. Even though the Gemara doesn't mention it, it's the same as Sukkah. In order to be Rosh Hashayach, it would have to be within 3 tefachim of the wall. The other opinion in Taisus is that Shabbos is different than Sukkah. Even though for the walls of Sukkah it has to be within 3 tefachim of the wall, that's because Sukkah requires real bona fide walls. However, when it comes to Shabbos, you don't need real bona fide walls. It's enough if you have the fact that it prevents the traffic, the flow of traffic. Even if the, see, in order for sukkah, these two have to join up to become one wall, because for sukkah, you need a doifen. But for Shabbos, even if the two don't join up, let's say this would be here, and this would be more than 4. This would be more than 3, yeah, right? Be more than 3, here it still prevents the flow of traffic. Even though the two are not joined up necessarily one with the other, it prevents the flow of traffic. So one opinion in Taisus is that the mechitzas for Shabbos are different than they are for Sukkah. For Shabbos, the two don't have to join up, even if it's more than 3 tefachim away. But for Sukkah, the two have to join up. For Sukkah, you need a daif, and for Shabbos, it's enough. It prevents the flow of traffic. And this is two opinions in the Mishnah Berurah. Comes up, if you have, Rav Shechta mentioned this, if you have two parts of a mechitza that are more than 3 tefachim apart, and tzach hakol, they have 10 tefachim between the two of them, is that a good mechitza for Shabbos or not? One opinion in Taisus is that it is. Shabbos is different than Sukkah. Sukkah needs a doifen. Shabbos only needs a mechitza. The other opinion is no, that the two are the same. So that same this issue comes up with regards to a different Gemara Masechta Sukkah. The Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah that if you build a sukkah on top of a platform, it's no good. Because if you build a sukkah on top of a platform, that's no good. So the Ron asks, 1 minute, but it's a good Rosh Hashayach. We said an amud is a Rosh Hashayach. Why can't you build a sukkah on top of a amud? So the Ron explains, because even though on top of an amud you have good asik mechitzta, that's this case, you have an amud, and you build schach over here. So even though this is a rishus hayachid, it's no good for a sukkah. Why is it no good for a sukkah? You have good asik mechitzta. That's the Ron's kasha. So the Ron says good asik mechitzta is good for Shabbos, it's not good for sukkah. Shabbos is enough with the mechitzta, prevents the flow of traffic. Sukkah needs a doif and it needs real bona fide walls. Like that distinction that Tosfos said also.
Why can you build a sukkah on top then?
I mean, the Gemara says, because ba'ina mechitas, you need real recognizable walls, and here you don't have it.
If you build the walls, then that
would be fine. Oh, of course, if you build walls.
But so how do you,
but you want to rely on the walls that are below.
But how are the schachs there?
Poles.
Oh, as opposed to an actual
piece. Yeah. So the Ron says, good asik is good for Shabbos, but it's not good for sukkah, because you need bona fide walls. You need a doifen for sukkah, but Shabbos is good enough with a mechitza. However, the problem is that the Rambam holds that good asik is good for sukkah, because the Rambam says if you have a house, the famous piece in Reb Chaim, but the Rambam holds if you have a house, and I put the schach up here, so the Rambam holds that sukkah is kosher. It's only if it's filled up that it's not good. Why is this kasher? Because I have good asik mechitzta on the inside. It's nikar, here it's nikar. So I have good asik mechitzta, the sukkah is kasher. Good asik is not only good for Shabbos, it's good for sukkah too. So however, if that's the case, so then, but over here, this is where the Rambam says, if it's on top of an amud, a solid amud, then it's not a good sukkah. Because then you can't say good asik at all. So Reb Chaim asked, and I say from the Rambam, one minute, if you can't say good asik at all, why on top of it is it Rishus HaYachid? Why is this a good sukkah and this is no good sukkah? Because here you say good asik, because it's nikar, at least on the inside of the house. I can see the wall on both sides. Here, it's otum, it's solid inside, so I can't see the mechitza over there. I can only see it on one side. That's not called mechitza and nikar. We don't say good asik at all. Oh yeah, then why on top of it is it Rishus HaYachid for Shabbos? We said at the very beginning, one of the good mechitzos for Shabbos is an amud. An amud is considered to be mechitzah for Shabbos. So Reb Chaim explains, within the opinion of the Rambam, you don't need good asik in order to label an area as a rishus hayachid. As long as it has mechitzos below, it's a mokum hamugdar. It has set away from the rishus harabim with mechitzos. Even if you don't have good asik that extends above, it's still considered to be a rishus hayachid. So too, Rav Moshe says, based on this whole Ram the Shepshad of Reb Chaim, that's the Pshad over here in Tosfos too. Since you have walls below, even though you don't say good asik mechitza because it's not nikar, because you have this roof that extends the gaga boile, doesn't matter. Over here is the Rishus Hayachid nonetheless because it has mechitzas down below. It's set off from the Rishus Haravim by mechitzas. So then why can't I carry here? It's only if this is four tfachim wide, and now this is a karmugas, and this is nifrat, the makam ha'asilah. But this area is Rishus HaYachid, even though the Gemara said you don't say good asik, if it's not nikar, it doesn't matter. This area is Rishus HaYachid, even without mechitzah, it's just like the Rambam held. We don't say good asik on top of amud, because it has mechitzahs down below. So that's why Rav Moshe felt, again, let me just finish this, that's why Rav Moshe felt that on top of the, let's say in theory it's not the case, it was never, well, I don't know if it was ever the case, certainly not the case today, that there's mechitzas around all of Manhattan. There is an Erev in Manhattan, but not around all, it doesn't go around the entire island. But Rav Moshe and his tshuva about the Erev in Manhattan was assuming, at least for part of it, that there was an Erev around, at least part of Moshe's description of the geography doesn't exist nowadays because there were elevated trains and all that. But assuming that there would be mechitzas all around Manhattan, so Rav Moshe felt that on top of the George Washington Bridge would also be Rishus HaYachid. Why? Even though we don't say good asik mechitzah if it's not nikar. And on top of the George Washington Bridge, the mechitzas, if there would in theory be mechitzas all the way around Manhattan, would not be nikar on top of the George Washington Bridge. Doesn't matter. You don't need good asik mechitzah in order to declare the areas of Rishus HaYachid. On top of the George Washington Bridge would be Rishus HaYachid because down below there's mechitzas around all Manhattan. So that would extend up and make that area as a Rishus HaYachid. It's set off from the Rishus HaRabim. So then it should be a Rishus HaYachid because the mechitzah is down below, even though you don't say good asik mechitzah. And Rav Shechter finds this utterly untenable. If you don't say good asik mechitzah, how can you have the area on top of the George Washington Bridge be Rishus HaYachid? Because he has a different shot over here in this Tosfos. But according to Rav Moshe, said, let's look at the Rishonim. How many Rishonim are there? They're in positions over here. We have three. So what should on top of the George Washington Bridge be? So he says, well, it can't be. He says, according to Tosfos, since there's no good asim mechitzta, it would be, or according to one opinion, Tosfos would be a karmelis. because it's lamala me'asara. So be a kamalis, and there's no machitza, so be a kamalis. According to the other opinion, ain kamalis lamal me'asara. So according to the Gron Yerushalmi, he says the George Washington Bridge is a makom tur. And then he says, according to this opinion in Tosfos, since it has machitzas down below, it's a rishus hayachim midaraisa, but it's nifrats to a kamalis, so to the part of the George Washington Bridge, which is outside of the machitza. So Moshe says you can solve the problem with the George Washington Bridge by just putting a Tzuras HaPesach in the middle of the George Washington Bridge, which was never done. But if they would do that, so it would solve the problem of the George Washington Bridge. He says you have two out of three. According to one opinion, it's a makom tur. According to the other opinion, it's rishus hayachid, that's nifrats. So just put a Tzuras HaPesach, and you'll be okay. That's his position. Rav Schefter finds that, as he mentioned, he finds that very, very difficult. Yeah.
But he acknowledged that if the Gog Habolek is more than 4x4, that would make the Mechitza not nicker, therefore we wouldn't say Karasik, and therefore that there's just the space on top of the walls. So he says
you can't have a kamos that's suspended in midair anyway. Can't have a kamos that's 10 tefachim above the ground. There's no such thing.
Can still make the wall that serves as a fourth wall to the roof that's on top of the building.
Yeah, it might prevent you from saying good asik mechitza, but it doesn't matter.
The zoos carry.
Yeah, you can still carry there because the makom tur.
Right.
The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that what is considered to be rishus harabim is a sratya or a platya, which we'll get to in a second, either a highway or a great big plaza. But Rashi says, in that context, gives you a different description. That's all the Gemara really says about it, which is Harabim. But Rashi, really, and the other Rishonim collect different specifications, what is considered, what you need in order to be considered, which is Harabim. One is that it has to be Tez Zion, and all of them are quoted in Shulchan Aruch Avihar, Zion. So one is that it has to be 16 Amos wide, because that was how big the Klal Yisrael's caravan was when they were traveling in the Midbar. So it has to be Tez Zayin Amos wide, and all the Malachas learned out from Malachas HaMishkan, and Klal Yisrael's building it and traveling with it. So Tez Zayin Amos wide. Rabbi Kiva Eger writes in Shulchan Aruch that it's where the animals walk, where the people walk, where the cars go. They're all the same. Rav Shefter mentioned this, but it's really Rabbi Kiva Eger already in Shulchan Aruch. They're all considered to be included in the Shir of Tez Zayin Amos wide. The Shulchan Aruch goes on to say that if you have a Rishus HaRabim that's shaped like an hourglass, and to both ends it's Tez Zayin Amos wide, in the middle it becomes narrower, but then it extends again, so then the whole thing is considered to be Rishus HaRabim. There's a stira between Sif Zayin and Sif Ches, if you're careful when you're reading, but the Mishnah Berurah already points it out. Maybe it's two opinions about how narrow it narrows to, is it still considered to be Rishus HaRabim? That's the basic idea. Then the Shulchan Aruch explains, and is already found in the Gemara and Shabbos, that if it's Makura, if there's a roof, then it can't be a Rishus HaRabim. In the Lower East Side, I think Tzvi Ram, Rabbi Ram, who's the Boichain, so he lives as a Rav of the Bialystok Shtiba on the Lower East Side, which is the lion's den of a building in Erev in Manhattan. It's in Dalet Amos of Rav Moshe. So, but he tried to come up with an idea. There's really two buildings where most of the people live down there. So he wanted to build a roof with lovet strings between the two buildings. Then how could anybody argue then it's a Rishus HaRabim? But I don't think Rav David went for it. Anyway, he was working for a while to build it. I don't know whatever happened in the end. Rabbi Simon discusses it in his Sefer on Erevin, Rabbi Baruch on Erevin discusses Rabbi Ram's suggestion about building a roof. Because Rabbi Simon's in-laws are from the Lower East Side. He's involved in that issue. The other specification in order to be Rishus HaRabim is that it has to be Mechuvan Mishar L'Shar. Here the Shulchan Aruch says, V'afil Yeshom Chayma Im Hei Mefulashim Mishar L'Shar. If it goes straight from one gate to the other gate, which implies if it does not go straight from one gate to the other gate, then it cannot be a Rishus HaRabim. It has to be Mechuvan Mishar L'Shar. The Mishkanis Yaakov, Reb Chaim Oizer, the Chazanish, all felt that that's only if there's a wall around the city. If you look in the language of the Shulchan Aruch, that's what he says, Afil Yesh Lahem Chayma, Im Hei Mefugash and Mishar L'Shar. Even if it has a wall, but the road goes straight through, then it's Rishus HaRabim. Why would it have to have a wall? Meaning if it's not Mefugash, Mishar L'Shar, it doesn't go straight through, then it's not Rishus HaRabim. That's only if it has a wall. Why? Because if it has a wall, see, if you have, let's say, a street that goes like this, you have houses on the side of the street. So if it goes straight through, it's a Rishus HaRabim. If it doesn't go straight through, let's say I have a house here, you know, blocking it, whatever. If it doesn't go straight through, now it's not a Rishus HaRabim. You have to go like this, and then that way, it's not a Rishus HaRabim. Why would you say that? Why is it not a Rishus HaRabim? So they understand, it's only if there's a wall around the city. Why? Because if you have a wall around the city, now we understand why it has to be Mefulish Mishar Lashar. Otherwise, you have three walls. You have one wall. This is one, two, and let's say this is Amin Ruval Haaretz. You have three walls. So if it doesn't go Mefulish Mishar Lashar, then you have three walls. Rishus HaYachim Midarayisa. The Chazon Ish is a description of large cities with mostly buildings. You have three walls. Midarayisa is a Rishus HaYachim. If you don't have walls, so even if I have this situation, which we discussed, you know. So it's still, let's say, the road would go like this. Why should that not be Rishus HaRabim? Just because it's not Mefulish Mishar Lashar. It should be Rishus HaRabim. So they argue the only time it has to be Mefulish Mishar Lashar is in a city that has a wall, because if it's not Mefulish, then all of a sudden you have three walls. Rav Shalta quoted from Shlomo David Kahana, and it's printed in the Divrei Menachem, Menachem Kasher's Kuntres on the Eiv of Manhattan, that he argued, no, Mefulish Mishar Lashar is even in a city that doesn't have a chayma. The language of the Shulchan Aruch implies otherwise, but he understood it that it doesn't have to be in a city specifically that has a wall, and therefore he said the bigger the city, the more likely it is that none of the streets will be Mefulish Mishar Lashar, because you're constantly expanding, and then you have to weave in and out, as Shulchan explained, around the statues and all the other obstacles in the way, won't be Mefulish Mishar Lashar. But Moshe asked in the Igros Moshe, what is the whole sfar here that has to be Mefulish Mishar Lashar? It doesn't make any sense. Why does it have to be Mefulish Mishar Lashar? So Rishonim already explained, Rav Moshe doesn't quote it, but the Meiri asked that question. Why does it have to be Mefulish Mishar Lashar? And Meiri explains, he says, and in the days of cars, we can really appreciate this, and that is because if it's Mefulish Mishar Lashar, you can travel fast. You just go straight through, like you can, you know, put the pedal to the metal and keep going. If it curves, so then you have to keep slowing down, and there's congestion and things. So he said, the more it curves, the slower you have to go. It impedes traffic. Okay, now it's not a Rishus HaRabim. It's only a Rishus HaRabim if there's unimpeded traffic. And the more it curves, the more impeded the traffic is. That's what the Meiri says. However, Rav Moshe, not impressed with that svar. So Rav Moshe suggests his own definition for what Mefulish Mishar Lashar means, which is that what it means is that you have to have, he sees no other possibility, that would it's rational. What it means is that you have all the specifications, all the other specifications of Rishus HaRabim throughout. That's what Mefulish Mishar Lashar means. It's not Makura, it has Zayinama, it's whatever, Shishim Rebo, that it has all of those qualifications throughout the duration of the road. The problem is, it's against the Shulchan Aruch said of Rishus HaRabim that's Miskatzer. It's shaped like an hourglass and it gets narrow in the middle. It's still Rishus HaRabim. Why? But according to Rav Moshe, it doesn't have the specifications of qualifications of Rishus HaRabim throughout. Or let's say you have an overpass over a highway. Would Rav Moshe say the highway is no longer Mefulish Mishar Lashar because it's Mekura for part of it that has an overpass? So Rav Moshe's position is somewhat difficult, but that was Rav Moshe's position. Rav Moshe Bick, who was a well-known Pesach in Erevin as well, Rav Simon quotes this in his Sefer, he felt that what Mefulish Mishar Lashar means is that it never ends in a dead end. Meaning you can always go from one road to another road to another road to another road. So then all of our roads are Mefulish. At least any road that doesn't end in a dead end is Mefulish Mishar Lashar. If it ends in a dead end, it's not Mefulish. But if it doesn't end in a dead end, it's Mefulish Mishar Lashar. So Moshe Bick said that from New York to California is Mefulish. You could travel, there's roads that could go all over the whole country. Almost every road is Mefulish Mishar Lashar. What it means is that it doesn't end. It's an unobstructed road. It doesn't end in a dead end. The other final qualification in order to be Rishus HaRabim is that it has to have 600,000 people. That's actually 2 days over here in the Shulchan Aruch Siv Zayin. And the Mishnah Berurah claims that based on the rules of the Yesh Oimrims in the Shulchan Aruch, we should pass that you don't need 600,000, meaning it should be Rishus HaRabim even without 600,000 people. A tremendous chumrah. But then the Shaar HaTzion, as if Kan Chavbez quotes it from other places throughout the Shulchan Aruch, he implies that he assumes that you need 600,000 people. For example, the Ramah says in Shin Mem Vav Sif Gimel that we don't have a Rishus HaRabim nowadays. Why would we not have a Rishus HaRabim nowadays? So it must be because you need 600,000 people, and we don't have areas that are populated by 600,000 people. this, but it must be that the assignment. Did he mean we don't have roads that are Tezayin Amawai? Did he mean we don't have roads that are Amakura? No, what he probably meant is we don't have roads that have 600,000 people traveling on them. So he seems to assume also you need 600,000 people. Nonetheless, the Bir Halacha quotes in the Mishnah Berurah both quote that a Baal Nefesh should be Machmir on himself, that even if it's less than 600,000 people, it should still be considered to be a Rishus HaRabim. The Beis Ephraim makes a point. There must be some minimal traffic. That doesn't mean every bika, every bike path is a Rishus that's Tezayin Amawai, is a Rishus HaRabim. There has to be some threshold of traffic. He's not sure what it is, but even if it's less than 600,000, there's got to be some, it's going to be a heavily trafficked area, but if it's a heavily trafficked area, even if it's less than 600,000 people, we should assume that it's a Rishus HaRabim. Baal Nefesh should be Machmer himself that it's a Rishus HaRabim. So for that reason, the Chafetz Chaim, it's quoted in his biographies, didn't carry in any Erev, because he was Cheshish that perhaps we don't need 600,000 people, in which case our cities, even suburban cities, might be a Rishus HaRabim Deiraisa. However, because of most assume you do need 600,000 people, even the Be'er Lach only says that Baal Nefesh should be Machmer himself, that's what the Be'er Lach assumed all of our Erevin are based upon. Because he was of the opinion, which we'll get to in a minute, that that Asu Rabim Umavatl Mechitza, when many people go through a Mechitza, that invalidates the Mechitza, that only we paskin that that's only a Psul Midrabbanim. So since Asu Rabim Umavatl Mechitza, let's say people traveling through a Tzuras HaPesach negate the Tzuras HaPesach, is only a problem Midrabbanim. And so since we're only dealing with the problem Midrabbanim anyways, since our Isar Haitza is only Midrabbanim, because we have Tzuras HaPesach around our area, yeah, but people travel underneath it. Also, Rabban Mavatl Mechitza, that's only a problem with the Rabbanon. Since we're only dealing with an Issa Midrabbanon, we could be Samech on the Shittas that hold that you need 600,000 people to be Rosh HaRabim, in which case we don't have 600,000 people, so we can assume our areas are not Rosh HaRabim. That was how he understood the basis for all of our Erevin. But since he didn't want to be Samech on that himself, he didn't carry in the Erevin because he was Cheshish, you don't need 600,000. How do you measure, how do you assess whether you have 600,000 people? So the Shulchan Aruch says you have to have 600,000 people over and above b'chol yom, 600,000 people traveling on it every day. So Mishnah Berurah writes, of Kohen Chavdalet, he searched through, he scoured all of the Rishonim, was unable to find the source for this halacha, this definition. However, the Acharonim point out that Beis Yosef quotes it from a Ramban, from a Sefer HaTruma. It's based on the Rishonim. Rishonim have this language. It's hard to know what the Mishnah Berurah meant. You don't have to look too far. So, Rabbeinu Yerucham, many Rishonim say that you need it to be the 600,000 people over in b'chol yom, which implies that it's assessed by one spot. You know, 600,000 people travel there every day, then it's Rishus HaRabim. The Be'er Halacha, because he finds this definition difficult, quotes from Ritva in Iran, they know what it means is that it's open to 600,000 people. Not that they're actually there, but they could be there. All right, what does that mean? Does it have to be a law? You know, like, it's hard to know. But as long as it's open to 600,000 people, that could also be Rosh HaRabim Deraisa. So the Aruch HaShulchan has a similar definition. That's why he writes Mesilas HaBarzel, train tracks, Rosh HaRabim Deraisa. Because it's certainly open to 600,000 people. That could, in theory, be, if it's a heavily trafficked day, 600,000 people traveling on it. Even if they're not there every day, they're there sometimes. So that's also 600,000 people would be Rosh HaRabim. The Shaar HaTzion in Sifkan Chavhei then quotes a third definition that it's assessed not by each street individually, but rather the entire city. What it means is if you have 600,000 people on the streets of the city at any given moment in time, or generally, then that would render the entire city a Rishus HaRabim. Where do you draw the line? What's called one city? So Manhattan is an island, that's obvious. What about land masses that are connected? So Ramosha says if it's Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil, which was the size of the Machne Yisrael, so then if you have 600,000 people on the streets of the city within an area of Yud Beis Mil or Yud Beis Mil, that's considered to be a Rosh HaRabim. And then Ramosha says since it's assessed, that's a Sharat Siyan, and that's the opinion that Ramosha adopts in the Gris Moshe. So therefore, if you have 600,000 people on the streets of a city or in a concentration, a density within a Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil, the entire city is rendered as a Rishus HaRabim, even the dead ends, even the streets that are not that heavily trafficked, the entire city is a Rishus HaRabim. That's why Ramosha held, and you can't build an Erev in Brooklyn. Ramosha made a sociological study in Flatbush. He said, how many people, based on population in a household, are on the streets of the city at any given moment in time? So Moshe claimed that it was one, he wasn't sure, it was either 1 in 5 or 1 in 6 of the people in the every person is on the streets of the city at any given moment in time. That was his guess. So therefore, educated guess. Therefore, Moshe claimed if you have a density of population of either between 2.4 million or 3 million people living within Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil, so then we have the right to assume that at any given moment in time, there's 600,000 people on the streets of the city. So even without measuring the streets, but if you have that density of a population, 3 million people living in Yud Beis Mil, Yud Beis Mil, we have the right to assume that, you know, that already 600,000 people on the streets of the city, yeah. So Flatbush, what Moshe felt is that density of population, and therefore you can't build an area from Flatbush. The whole thing is Rosh Hashanah and Daraisa. Manhattan would also could also have the same thing, and that's why that happens to not be the reason why Moshe said you couldn't build an area from Manhattan, because they were discussing building an area in a smaller section of Manhattan. But the same argument exists for Manhattan. The problem is in the tshuva right after the Flatbush tshuva. Ramesh was asked about Kew Gardens Hills. Ramesh says, oh, that's the best Erev. The problem is, but Kew Gardens Hills is also if you, you know, has a very dense population. So the Talmidim of Ramesh claimed that, no, it's because he felt Kew Gardens Hills is broken up by the highways. If you know the geography of Kew Gardens Hills and Forest Hills, there's the Grand Central Parkway runs through it, and there's walls on that side, on the side of the Grand Central Parkway. There's a LIE on the other side, and you have the Jackie Robinson, the Van Wyck on the other side. The Van Wyck, the Grand Central Parkway, and the LIE. So Moshe claimed that the highways divide up all the sections of Queens to be separate. And you never have the density of population required to be a Rosh Hashanah Daraisa. But in Flatbush, you would. Yeah.
Just
want
to clarify, whenever we say
that
someone says that something's a Rosh Hashanah Daraisa because criteria X is met, that assumes that all the other criteria are also
are correct. Also. Yeah, but the streets are Tezai Namawai, they are Eino Makura. According to Ramosha, they are mafulash mishar l'shar, because what it means is not every city has to be mafulash, but it means that it has the specifications of Rosh Hashanah throughout, which you could disagree with that. At that end, we could disagree is not mafulash. Ramosha assumed that, first of all, the area is all deemed Rosh Hashanah at once, the city. And mafulash doesn't mean that it goes straight through. It means that it has the specifications of Rosh Hashanah throughout. So putting everything together, you ended up with that difficulty. The Morgan Avram and the Mishnah Berurah, yeah.
Just to be clear on the last point, that he's saying that there's 600,000 people, 1/4 or 1/5 of 600, meaning 3 million or so, 1/4 or 1/5 is about 600,000 people, so if there's less than 3 million, then it wouldn't be considered.
1/4 and 1/5, yeah, I said 1/5, right.
Then that would be less, then that wouldn't be registered.
If you have
less than
3 million people living within 2 point, within Yud Beis Mil, by Yud Beis Mil,
right.
We got to assume there are 600,000 people on the streets of the city.
So Brooklyn, which only has about 2.5 million people even now.
I don't know about that. I don't know. You're already beyond my area of expertise. Is that true?
I don't know. I just
Googled it and it doesn't? But yeah. Brooklyn, yeah.
2.6.
Uh-huh.
3.7.
I don't know.
Approximately.
That was his assumption in the tshuva. The Magen Avram is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah over here. Shimim Hesivka and Yitzayin holds that Drachma Hochma Yir Leir. That's a highway that's meant to travel, not to serve as one of the streets of the city with stores and things, but it's meant to travel from place to place. Has the status of a Rosh Hashanah. So the Archas Chaim, or Menjer Shechter mentioned this from the Sipinka, quotes from the Ramban that perhaps this is in fact the prototypical Rosh Hashanah. When the Gemara says, what is a Rosh Hashanah? The Gemara gave two examples. One is Sratia, one is Platia. Rashi says, Sratia, the Ramban, Srat, what is Sratia? Sratia is a highway. It goes from place to place. So perhaps, the Orchaz Chaim says, maybe it doesn't even need 600,000 people. Even if we assume by the general Rosh Hashanah needs 600,000 people, that's because we're trying to describe a highway. But if you have a highway, so then maybe it even has less than 600,000 people, it would still be a Rosh Hashanah. In fact, this is already a machlekes between the Avnei Nezer and the Yeshuas Yaakov. The Avnei Nezer, Simen Reish Ayin Gimel, has a machlekes between himself and the Yeshuas Yaakov about this point. Does a highway need 600,000 people? Many held that we are not machmir on this issue. The Shmir Shabbos Kochasa quotes from Shlomo Zalman that the Ramah said, we don't have a Rosh Hashanah nowadays. Shimon Vav said, Gimel, how can we not have a Rosh Hashanah nowadays? You didn't have highways to travel from place to place. How'd they get from Varsha to Krakow? Obviously there were highways. So So the so it must be that he didn't hold of this chumrah then. On highways also need 600,000 people. In fact, Rav Moshe of Shefta mentioned he used to count cars. It's well known. He used to count cars in the FDR to see if it was 600,000 people. So in fact, Rav Moshe held the only time you need 600,000 people on any street, on one street. What is the Shulchan Aruch describing? Rav Moshe said a whole city becomes Rishus HaRabim. Yeah, but the Shulchan Aruch says, no, over in Bobo Kol Yom, that's on highways. He says, highways need 600,000 people on that street. Cities, all the streets of the city are assessed all at once. So Rav Moshe held it was Dafka on the highways, he needed 600,000 people. But Rav Shechter feels we should be machmir for this issue. He feels that the highway doesn't need 600,000 people. That's what we're trying to describe. Because of that, Rav Shechter has suggested in the past, and I've been able to really pin him down about this, that Lincoln Tunnel should also be a Rosh Hashanah Deraisa, even though it's Makura. Makura is just describing to you what's a highway. Tezayinama, Inu Makura, Shishim Ribo, Mafuish Mishal Lashar. These are all descriptions of a highway. If you're like, you know, to an alien who didn't know what a highway was, we're giving these descriptions. But if you have a highway, even if it's Makura or something like that, it would be Rosh Hasharabim Deraisa. Or the George Washington Bridge, even if it would have Mechita, if Shechter feels George Washington Bridge, it's probably Rosh Hasharabim Deraisa, because it's Drachim Ahochim Meir Leir. The whole purpose is to go from one city, one place to the other place. If Shechter even suggested the FDR, the West Side Highway, would also be Rosh Hasharabim Drachim Ahochim Meir Leir. Even though the purpose is just to go around and around the city, not to go from place to place, what he means is it doesn't blend in to become part of the streets of the city. So let's say you'd have in the country, you have one of these streets that the whole purpose is to go from place to place, but when it comes into the city, it blends in to become part of the streets of the city. There's, you know, the grocery store and the hardware store. So then that would not be Drachim Ahochim Meir Leir while it's in the streets of the city. It's only once it leaves the city, now it's part of the Drachim Ahochim Meir Leir. But because there it blends in to become part of the streets of the city. But let's say Route 4, when it goes through Bergen County, or if you have train tracks that go through any suburban community, Rav Shechter feels very strongly that they cannot be included in the Erev. That would be Rosh Hasharabim Deraisa going through the Erev, which we'll get to in a second. That invalidates the whole Erev. So that's why Route 4 is boxed, and we went to Tina 2 years ago, Route 4 is boxed out of the Erev. Or in Passaic, the train tracks are even boxed out of the Erev.
You just box it out with
extra. You put Tzuris HaPesach along the train tracks. It's its own Rishus. It doesn't go through our Erev. The train tracks in Teaneck, I don't want to discuss. Probably we could discuss there. It's a freight tracks, a whole different thing. We tumbled about it when we were there. I don't want to get it's not nice to poke your nose in other people's air, but we can discuss it with Rabbi Taubes Shlita, who's, I think, involved in the air. But whenever you have a highway or something like this, the train tracks, it has to be boxed out of the air, according to Shechter, but according to Shmir Shabbos Kochasa, Rabbi Wilk Paskins, it can be in the air. And there are some suburban cities, you have no choice. There are many cities without naming names in the metropolitan area that have train tracks that go right through it or highways that go right through it. And they're obviously assuming not like Shechter Shlita, but that's a well-known issue. The other prototypical Rosh Hasharabim is described by the Gemara as a platya. So the Rashba and his Sefer Avodas HaKadosh is quoted by the Berahetim over here, Shim Mem Hei Sivka in Zion, that any big plaza, even if it has walls around it, is by definition a Rosh Hasharabim. Even if it has walls around it, it's a Rosh Hasharabim. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quotes from Rosh Hashanah, what then in the Kaisel should be a Rosh Hasharabim. It's called the Kaisel Plaza. That's a big plaza. Should be a Rosh Hasharabim. So the Rosh Hashanah claims it can't be. It's a shul. How could a shul be a plaza? It's only if it's for it's a market. If it's for business purposes, then it's a platya. Times Square. According to the Rajbo, Platya, for sure. So then that would be Rosh Hasharabim, even if it has mechitzas all around it. And that was what Rav Moshe, one of the concerns Rav Moshe has in the Erev about Manhattan is what are we going to do about the Platyas, the Rajbo and the Avodas HaKadosh. And many disagree with the whole Rajbo. It never is quoted by the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch was aware of the Rajbo and the Avodas HaKadosh and did not quote it. It's quoted by the Rebbe Ha'etiv. So Rav Moshe says we should be chayshish for this Avodas HaKadosh with the Rajbo. And he says, don't tell me, in Europe no one had the minhag to be machmer. They didn't have big plazas like Times Square like we have.
Squares.
Sure, you go to Prague or you go to these cities, they have it. I mean, they have big top town squares, but Rav Moshe claimed never populated like our Times Square. Okay. That's Rav Moshe's argument. The last qualification, I'm sorry I said the last time, but the last qualification in order to be Rishus HaRabim is it cannot have doors. The Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Samuk Dalat Sid Beis that in Rishus HaRabim Ma'arvel B'dlosis, if you have walls around the Rishus HaRabim, that negates its status as Rishus HaRabim. As mentioned over here by the Ramah as well, V'ein D'losis Ne'ulas B'laila, if it doesn't have doors, if it has doors, it cannot be a Rishus HaRabim. How many doors do you need on the either side of the street? If you have one door on one side, does that prevent the flow of traffic enough to negate its status as a Rishus HaRabim? Do you need doors on both sides of the street? So that's two opinions in Mishnah Berurah, Shin Samach Dalet, Sifkan Vav. One opinion is you need two doors, one opinion is enough with one door. Then the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Samach Dalet, Sif Beis, Machlokes, do the doors have to be closed? Or is it enough if it, you know, at night? Or is it enough if it's Ruyois Linol? If it's, you know, they could in theory be closed. So Mr. Brewer claims we should be machmer that they have to be closed at night. However, other achrayim, Davnei Nezer, many other achrayim, Tzitzeliezer claim, no, it's a sveika. It's enough if there could be closed. Why? We're not sure we have Rishus HaRabim anyway. Maybe you need Shish and Mibo. Rama says we don't have Rishus HaRabim. And even if we do, so then it should be enough with Ruuyos Linol. It's a sveika. Maybe we don't have Rishus HaRabim. And maybe it's enough if it's Ruuyos Linol. They don't have to be closed at night. So it's enough if it's Ruuyos Linol. What is called Ruuyos Linol? It could be closed. So Avnei Nezer says, he derives a precedent from Gemara Masechet this Yevamis with regards to a shoe for Chalitza, that it has to be, could be worn. Or it has to be worn once. So if it's worn once, then it could be worn. So Avnei Nezer claims, as long as the door could be closed once, or was closed once, that's called Ruyos Linol. Here by the doors, by the Delosos and Mishus HaRam as well. So Shechta claims the minig was to close it once a year. If it's closed once a year, that's called the Delos and Ruyos Linol. Less than that is not even Roy Linol. What if it's a Dallas have Roy Linol, but you can close it once a year because you have a little clout in the neighborhood with the local authorities, but they're never going to let you close it whenever you want. That doesn't demonstrate that it's Roy Linol. It's Roy Linol once. They're never going to let you close it again. So is that called Roy Linol if the Medina is Ma'akid? So that's Machlekes, Davnei Nezer, and Yeshua's Malka. As Yeshua's Malka holds, if the government doesn't let you close it, then it's no good. This is relevant over here. The reason why they never built an Erev in YU is because when Rav Aaron Salvitch was alive, it was a post, you know, classic YU. The minute he was passed away, we rushed to build an Erev across the street. But while he was alive, there was no Erev across the street. But when they passed away, and they did build the Erev, so Rabbi Tendler, who was the son-in-law from Rav Moshe, was opposed to them putting Erev across Amsterdam Avenue as the status of Rishus HaRabim. So he was only, the first Erev, which we'll see him here some of the Erev tour on Thursday, the first Erev just went from the Beis Medrash to Morgue. You know, and to the cafeteria to allow people to carry their keys. After that, they expanded it, but that was the first Erev. So the only big hurdle was Amsterdam Avenue. So Rabbi Tendler made them put the law size on either side of Amsterdam Avenue in the journal called Noam, which was published by Mendel Kasher. It's no longer published anymore. But in the 21st volume, you can see there's an article there by Rabbi Ralbag, if you know who that is. So Rabbi Ralbag printed an article about creating dlosos out of these canisters that have rolled up tennis nets inside. And you could extend it across the street with service at Dallas. So on either end of Amsterdam Avenue, there's these two canisters. Rabbi Schwartz just told me initially there were four, now there's only two. But there's still at least two of them, these two canisters on either end of Amsterdam Avenue, which were these dlosos haru'uyos linol. So one problem is the government would never let you close them. They might have been closed once. I don't know. Rabbi Schwartz yesterday just told me he got the key to the canisters. So we have to, from the guy who built the air. We have to open it up and see what's inside. But anyway, so if in theory it has these nets, I'm chayshish that inside there's a little letter that says, ha-ha. You know what I mean? Anyway, but even if it has the nets inside, but the government will never let you close it. So we can't just like close it whenever we want. So I don't know if it's called Roy Linol. The other, the Rav Shechter was very opposed to it. Number one, he held that they didn't need it, but and it cost a lot of money to get them. But beyond that, Rav Shechter held perhaps it's not a good delis, because what's called a delis is when it's open, the door is still there. Here, when they're open, when the door is open, it's a rolled-up tennis net. There's no door anymore. So the Shari Chuv over here, Shin Samach Gimel Sekan Yud Beis, discusses a drawbridge. There's a drawbridge called a delis haroy linol, because I could pick it up and that will serve as a door. But then, sometimes it's down. So the Avnei Nezer claims that's not called a delis haroy linol. The Shari Chuva says it is. He claims it's not because when it goes down, there's no door anymore. It goes down. Now it's part of the road, like your lap. You get up and it's gone. So you close the door and it's gone. You open the door. I'm sorry, and it's gone. So Shechter claimed that this is even called a delis haroy linol because when you get up, you know, when it's closed, when it's open, I'm sorry, the door is gone. There's another problem with the drawbridge is that people travel right over it. So a mechitza hanidreses, can that be a mechitza? Even if you're going to call it a delta roi lino, even when it's down, but you travel right over the drawbridge. That's another problem that they bring up with the drawbridge. Rav Shetha mentioned in the Shia that he didn't have a problem with that. He discussed by the stairs. If the steps are within 3 tefachim of one another, we could view a whole staircase as a mechitza, gradual mechitza, even though people walk on the staircase. He didn't have a problem with that part of it. One last thing about Delos, and then we'll get to the contemporary Eruv, and we'll finish up. In order to be a Delos HaRoy Linol, so we said it has to be able to be closed once a year. What about when it's open? Do you need any residual mechitza there or not? So that was the Machleis in the Chazanish and the Chsam Sefer. The Chsam Sefer held when a Delos is open, it doesn't need to have a Tzuras HaPesach, residual Tzuras HaPesach there. And it's okay. And this comes up all the time, by the way. If you have, I was once building an Eruv, Indianapolis, and there was a gate of a school that we were using as part of the mechitza, which was great. It was gigantic. The problem is it had a huge area where the school buses would go through. And in the winter months, they didn't close it. They closed it Friday night, but they didn't close it in the winter months in time for Shabbos. So it had this huge gate, rolling gate, which they would close. So it's a Delos HaRoy Lino, which is actually Nu'ulos Belayo. They closed it at night. The problem is, when it's open, there's nothing there. There was no Tzuras HaPesach left there. There was nothing. Do you need a residual mechitza in order to be called a Delos HaRoy Lino? So Chassam Sefer held that no, you don't. Chazanish held that you do. It's a fundamental machlokes about how the losses work. Is it a super doorway? Is it a super mechitza that it's able to overcome Rishus HaRabim? If it's a super doorway, you should need a Rishus a Tzuras HaPesach there. If it's a super mechitza, you shouldn't need it. Whatever. The lamdas of the losses are relevant. Either way, that's a big machlek. So Shechlith holds like the Chazanish. It has to have a residual doorway there. At the time, Rabbi Willow told me he thinks if it's that's only if it's Roy Lino. Roy Lino, it has to have a residual doorway there. What if it's actually Nu'ulos Belayla? They closed it every night. So then he was willing to be maker like the Chsam Sefer, because either way, it's Nu'ulos Belayla anyway. So then maybe you don't need a residual doorway there. He printed this in the Amor Chai. It's a section on Erevin that you don't need it. The Mishnah Masechtas Erevin tells us a concept called Asu Rabim U'Mavatul Mechitza. It's machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon about the about Pasi Biros, around a well for the Ohel Regalim who were traveling to the Ohel Regalim in Yerushalayim. They wanted to feed their animals on the way there, so they had a well of water that was in the middle. The problem is you couldn't take the water out of the well of water to feed the animals because the well was Rosh HaYachid. The animals were standing in a carmelis as they're traveling to the Ohel Regalim to Yerushalayim, and the caravan stopped for Shabbos. So you take the water out of the well, you just carry it from Rosh HaYachid into a carmelis or into Rosh HaRabim. So the Gemara says that there's halacha l'maish misina, you could be masak in this well. You could really do it any area. They only allowed you to do it midrabanan around the well to put corners, put possibly rows like this in each corner, and then you could carry around the well. What if you have a Rosh HaRabim that goes right through the possibly rows? Okay? Yeah, like this four corners, you have your well, and then you have your possibly rows here. And then you have your possibly rows here. But you have a Rosh HaRabim that goes right through. See, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda was Asu Rabim Mavata Mechitza, that Rabim go through and they destroy the Pasi Biros. And the opinion of Chachamim was Lo Asu Rabim Mavata Mechitza. They don't disrupt the Pasi Biros. How do we paskin? Asu Rabim Mavata Mechitza. Lo Asu Rabim Mavata Mechitza is Machleik between the Mishkan is Yaakov and the Beis Ephraim. The Mishkan is Yaakov paskins Asu Rabim Mavata Mechitza. The Beis Ephraim paskins Lo Asu Rabim Mavata Mechitza. Either way, the Gemara says, even according to the Rabbanan, the Lo Asu Rabim Mavata Mechitza, if let's say you had this same similar situation, but it would be a lechi. You have, let's say, a wall, and you put a lechi here. If we don't have time to get into lechi, we'll get into next time. Lechi here. And there's a Shus Rabim going through. So the Gemara says, even the Rabbanan, even if this would be a Shus HaYachid Midaraisa, the Rabbanan hold also Rabbim Mavata Mechitza. The Rabbanan go, the Rabbim go through, and they Mavata Yo Lechi. Lechi over here is the Mechitza Midaraisa, and we'll get to it next time. So, but that's Mavata the Lechi. Also Rabbim Mavata Mechitza, the Ritva explains, because that's a Mechitza Grua. Pasibi Rose is a Mechitza Bria, a Lechi is a Mechitza Grua. So the Bir Halacha quotes, assumes that Tzuras HaPesach is a Mechitza Bria. Lechi is mechitza grua, an inferior mechitza. So it's a pesach is a mechitza bria. So he claims that's how we build our erevin. Is that we assume that lo asu rabim mavata mechitza, even though it's asu rabim mavata mechitza only din the rabbanon, but lo really midaraisa lo asu rabim mavata mechitza like the rabbanon. And even though the rabbanon only say it lo asu rabim when it's a mechitza bria, but tzuras pesach is a mechitza bria, and that's how we build our erevin. is by assuming lo asu rabim avat the mechitza, they don't come through, the rabim don't come through the tzuris ha-pesach and negate the tzuris ha-pesach, tzuris ha-pesach and mechitza bria. All the other achronim disagree with this assumption of the bir halacha. It's found in the Ritva already like that, but all the other achronim disagree that a tzuris ha-pesach is also mechitza grua. And even though the rabbanon generally don't subscribe to asu rabim avat the mechitza, here they would by a tzuris ha-pesach, because it's a mechitza grua, like a lechi. It's a symbolic mechitza, not a real mechitza. So they would hold asu rabim avat the mechitza. How then do we build our Erevin, even though lo asu rabim avat the mechitza, but that's only by mechitza bria. Our Erevin are built with the tzuris ha-pesach, mechitza grua. So the rabim come through and destroy the Erev. So Tosis writes himself, this Erevin is really based on the Gemara already, but even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who's a more machmir position, he holds asu rabim avat the mechitza by the pasi biros. Even by Mechitza Bria, he holds also Rabbim about the Mechitza. But even Rabbi Yehuda only said it if you need the Mechitza Midaraisa. If you only need the Mechitza Midarabanan, then lo yotzu Rabbim about the Mechitza. So the Mordechai quotes the name of Rami Rutenberg that if you're only dealing with a Kamulis, which is really an extension from Taisves, if you're only dealing with a Kamulis, well, all the walls are only needed Midarabanan, so then Midaraisa is a Makom Tur, we never would say Asu Rabbim about the Mechitza. So that's why, in order to be create an Erev in our communities, that's what the Beis Ephraim says all of our Erevin are based upon, is that we hold, we can't have a Rishus HaRam going through if we're only dealing with a Karmelist. So we say, we'll lo asu Ram avat the mechitza if you only need the mechitza midrabanan. So that's why if we have a Rishus HaRam going through our areas, our Erevin that are based on Tzuris HaPesach, we will have a problem. We'll say asu Ram avat the mechitza, and we assume even according to the Rabbanan in our Erevin, asu Ram avat the mechitza, because the Tzuris HaPesach is the mechitza grua. So the first job in creating an Erevin in a suburban community is making sure you do not have a Rishus HaRam going through, and if depending on how you hold the train tracks, the highways, the whole issue. What about asu rabim avat the mechitza? The law asu rabim avat the mechitza. Machlokes the rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah Yaakov, the Beis Ephraim. Does that ever play out lamaisa? And according to our Erevin, are even good according to Rabbi Yehuda? If we don't have rishus harabim going through, it's only needed with the rabbanan. No one would say asu rabim avat the mechitza. But there is a nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and the rabbanan, a big one in the big cities, and that is in the big cities. Kazanish, the last thing for today. Kazanish held that the big cities all have Arashus HaYachim in their rights. We said Rav Meisha held all the big cities Arashus HaRam in their rights because there are 600,000 people on the streets of the city in any given moment in time. Chazanish held that they're all considered to be Arashus HaYachim in their rights because the bigger a city is, the more valuable the real estate, the more buildings you'll have. And let's say this would be 185th Street, so you end in the side in the Max Stern, and you have buildings on either side. This is Oimei Baruba Laparetz. It does have a Pierce of Yasim Yasser, but you can fix this with the Tzuris HaPesach. Like that. So you have Oimei Meruba Laparetz. This is more wall than breaks, which we'll get the next time. And therefore, this is Rishus HaYachim Daraisa. Three walls. That's great. It's not a Rishus HaRam Daraisa. It's all this is a Karmelis. It's Rishus HaRabim with a Pirtzei Yesem Yeser. Okay, no problem. So the other Achronim disagree, and they say that's only according to the Rabbanan. They lo asu rabim avat the mechitza. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that asu rabim avat the mechitza, even by real walls, this autobahn or Anthem Avenue, which is harabim, that comes to and disrupts your Ayin Merubah parts. You don't have Ayin Merubah parts in the first place because you have a Rishus HaRabim going through. So Chazanish said, I don't have Rishus HaRabim going through because he paskin lo asu rabim avat the mechitza, so you have Ayin Merubah parts. And they're assuming, like the Mishkan Yaakov, that you do have Rishus HaRabim going through, and the Rishus HaRabim disrupts the Eimei Meruba Laparetz, because they pass like a Rabbi Yehuda, that Asu Rabim Avat the Mechitza. So one of the basic assumptions of the Chazanish's position is that Loi Asu Rabim Avat the Mechitza. You have Eimei Meruba Laparetz, and Rishus HaRabim that's going through, even if it would have been Rishus HaRabim, is negated by the Eimei Meruba Laparetz. And many of the detractors of the Chazanish, Rav Meisher and others, felt that we should pass in also Rabbim Mumavat Mechitza and should disrupt your Ayin Merubah parts. And Moshe even went further and said you never have Ayin Merubah parts in the first place because you have a Rishus HaRabim going through. Even if you have Loy also Rabbim, you don't have Ayin Merubah parts because you have Rishus HaRabim going through. And the Chazon Ish, what are you talking about? It's not Rishus HaRabim because I have Ayin Merubah parts. And Moshe said, you don't have Ayin Merubah parts because you have Rishus HaRabim. It's a vicious cycle. Where do you start? You start with Ayin Merubah and then against Rishus HaRabim. You start with Rishus HaRabim and then against Ayin Merubah. Anyway, but that might hinge upon this machlek, is whether you say asu rabim avat the mechitza or not. Does that negate the ayin merubah la parets in the big cities? Okay. Enough for today.